The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is April 14th, 2024, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
We are following breaking news. This just coming into our newsroom. O.J. Simpson, the former football star who was accused of killing his ex-wife and her boyfriend, has died.
So we have this issue of a Biden decline in young voters, and you can see that he's trying to address that with forgiving student loan, and then he has a very serious issue with black voters as well.
We turn now to the horrific images tonight, the newly released police body camera video of a deadly police shooting in Chicago. Graphic images showing a driver pulled over for a seatbelt violation, opening fire and wounding an officer. Police firing back, unleashing 96 shots in 41 seconds.
On Monday, for the first time in American history, a former president will be tried in a court of law. It follows the judge in Donald Trump's New York hush money trial, again denying his request for a delay. Mr. Trump is charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records to prevent news of an alleged extramarital affair from becoming public.
Online radio at its best.
Good morning, Lord. Today is the start of a brand new day. I come to you with thanksgiving and praise. I ask you today, Lord God, to forgive me of all my sins. Please forgive me, Heavenly Father, for the things I have done that is not pleasing to you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I worship you, my Lord, and give you thanks for all you have done. I praise you with all my heart. Lord, today is a brand new day, and I do not know what it will bring. So I come to you for guidance. Please lead me in all the things that I will do today. Please give me a clear mind to make the right decisions. I know that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So, before I start my day, I want to thank you and worship you in spirit and in truth for all things you have done in my life and what you're about to do today. I know, Lord God, that there is nothing impossible with you, and all your plans are good and perfect. Lord, let me not go on my own understanding today, but in all my ways, help me as I go and start my day. Be with me and guide me with your Holy Spirit, that I may do what is right and be pleasing to you. I want to start today with an offering of praise and worship to you, with all my heart and all my soul. Let me forgive all who have hurt me yesterday and in the past. Please allow me to have a fresh new beginning today, filled with your blessing and favor. Forgive me, Lord God, for all my sins, and be merciful to me. Use me today, that you may be proud of me, and that I may delight you in all my ways. Let the people around me today be generous and considerate towards me and towards one another. Let me be a blessing to everyone today. please give me peace and let me be patient in everything I do. Let your angels surround and protect me today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I love you. Amen.
Is our calling number, 347-850-1272. And welcome into the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And of course, like the young lady said at the top, I'm J. Ryle. Thank you so much for being here with us. But you know, if you listen to this show, I never, ever, ever, ever shoulder the burden of bringing you guys the information that you need every week by myself. Let me introduce you to my big sis, Vanessa Mae Belly from the McAnally House, and my boy, Mr. L to the E to the S is here as well. Good morning, Vanessa. We missed you last week. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. I always miss y'all. Always. I miss talking to the audience. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here, and I got some information I want to share with you guys that's kind of important.
Okay. No, hey, it's coming up right after we bring in the man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only, my brother from another mother, the one and only, Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. And my goodness, good morning, Nessa. I pray your surgery went well. Good morning, good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, American Music. Good morning, Real Dad. Good morning, Real Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
The number is 347-850-1272. Once again, you can be a part of it. Thank you for allowing us to spend a portion of your day with you. And if you listen to the show, you know what time it is. We kind of rap and clap and talk about things that will not be discussed during the main show. Have a lot to talk about during this segment. But you know, when sis says she needs the floor, she gets the floor. Vanessa, the mic's yours.
Okay, so Les, thank you. But I have not had the surgery yet. I have been prepping for the surgery, and it has been a lot of prepping, guys. So my surgery is this Wednesday. So I ask the audience and I ask you guys, because it is a major surgery, I think I'll be under the knife about 2 hours. I'm having a hip replacement, full hip replacement on my right hip. It's about a 2 hour or so surgery. Bobby's going to be at the hospital with me for about 9 hours. They say I will be walking before I leave that hospital. And if I can't walk, they're going to keep me. So y'all know I'm going to walk, right? other than that, it is going to be a hard process for Bobby. So y'all pray for Bobby, because the neck, when my surgery is Wednesday. So the first 4 or 5 days, they say I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I've got a lot of swelling. I've had to go get meals to put in the freezer. I've had to go get ice pack washes. I got to take 2-3 different baths that you can't touch your face and stuff with because of the surgery. It's just a lot. I've had to come off of pain pills, y'all. I've been off my pain pills for a week. And I tell you, we left and went on a cruise. We came back Thursday. So I had to get off my pain pills. Thank God I was on the ship to enjoy myself a little bit to get through that pain. But now I'm at that point now where last night I was crying because I was in so much pain, and I can't take a pain pill. So it's just been kind of hard this last week, and I'm just asking that that y'all pray for me and pray about it, because I'm going to be under anesthesia and I'm going to be out of it. I'm going to be on codeine when I get home, so I can't do anything. Bobby's going to have to do everything for me. For the first 2 or 3 weeks. Then I go to rehab. I got to start rehabbing. So it's I'll be on next Sunday, if the good Lord bless and the creek don't rise. But y'all pray, because stuff does happen during surgery, you know. And y'all know I got asthma, so I have breathing issues. So they've checked my heart. They've checked everything. Y'all stay proud for Bobby Wednesday morning. Start praying.
Well,
Well, like Mr. Elliott said, we'll definitely be in prayer. We'll be checking in with Bobby to make sure he's okay, if he needs anything. Yeah, we will definitely be praying for you. And if God's willing, you would definitely be here Sunday. And we would definitely be able to catch up with you. You know, we love you more than anything. We adore you. We love you beyond words. You are our sister. We don't care if we don't share the same DNA, but you are our sister. And you know how when I met you, I was on my way. My mother was having brain surgery, and I think I told you this when I met you back then, or we talked shortly thereafter, that that was such a bright spot for me, because I didn't know what was going to happen to my mother. And for me to get on that flight, and you were on that flight, and the way you made me laugh and giggle, it made it just that much easier for me to go home and deal with the heavy burden of, you know, watching my mother. She was in surgery for, I think, almost 5 hours. And we didn't know what was going on.
I'm scared about 2 hours, and your mom was under the knife for five. So, yeah,
five.
I am scared. I'm going to tell the audience and tell y'all, yes, I am scared to be put to sleep and out for, you know, at least 2 hours. Yeah,
you're covered by the blood. Yeah. You're covered by the blood. You know God's going to take care of you. So we'll be, you know what, you better be here Sunday. That's all I have to say. We'll be checking in with Bobby on Wednesday and making sure that everything is okay. But we love you. And I'm pretty sure our listening audience will be sending prayers up. We pray for our sister. But she'll be back Sunday, because God got this one. If no, God ain't got nobody else, if it was me, now I'd be making arrangements for everybody to show.
I can't disagree with him when he writes. You can't disagree when he writes.
If it was me, if it was me, like, oh, damn, Mr. Elias, you got it, dog. Let me pass everything over to you.
Audience, when y'all hear somebody say that they had a hip replacement, oh, you're going to feel a lot better afterwards, it might be true, but the pre-op, like, I can't sit on a regular potty. They had to give me one. I have to use a different kind of walker. I mean, it is crazy, the pre-op to this. I had to go buy muumuus. Y'all know what muumuus are, those big kind of gowns, because you can't have anything really touch you. I mean, it's a lot. When y'all hear somebody say that they could have a hip replacement, pray for them, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. They said I had to do a video, a Zoom for an hour and 15 minutes on how to be taken care of and have to get somebody to come here to take care of me. Think about the people who ain't got nobody to take care of them. That lady said, if y'all ain't got nobody to take care of y'all, y'all need to find somebody. She said, Bobby had to readjust the bed. I'm going to have to sleep in the guest room, because I can't help take a chance on Bobby the first two or three nights hitting my hip. I mean, thank God I've got another room to come and sleep in for the next two or three days after the surgery. I mean, y'all, this is serious, and it is crazy. She's like, you need somebody to get you out the bed to use the bathroom. Do not try to do it by yourself. To put the potty next to the bed. They gave me a potty to put next to the bed because they don't want me moving. It's like, I had no clue, and I scheduled this, y'all, back in December. I knew I was going to have this surgery. I knew last summer that they were telling me I was going to have it, and I went to five doctors before I decided to do it. Five. So, y'all, because I'm young, and this is what I didn't tell y'all. They're going to shoot me with radiation.
Oh, God.
They're going to shoot me with radiation, and most people don't get that. But I'm getting it because I'm having a hip replacement at a young age. So now, I don't care if the audience knows, I've taken every extension, everything out of my hair, because I need to wash that radiation and anesthesia out of my hair. Is that not the craziest something, y'all?
That's crazy. But our family, I mean, look, our radio audience, the ones that truly listen to us on a weekly basis, they're family. We may not know all your names. Some of you guys, we do know your names, but they're family, so they're all praying. I'm pretty sure everybody will say a prayer today in church for you. And, you know, since you have to sleep in one of those bedrooms, is it the hidden one? Because, you know, you got hidden compartments in your house. So I don't know which one it is. you know, because you walk by a closet. You'll walk by a closet at Vanessa's house, and next thing you know, boy, you in a whole I'm like, damn, is this like a, what is this, 007? What's going on around her house?
Y'all, so, don't let Jay hook y'all, because Jay's house is gorgeous, but his backyard, I need to rent it to have a party. I need to rent his backyard.
You gotta rent nothing. You can come back there anytime you want to. You know better than that. Stop it. You stop the nonsense right now.
Stuff. I love it.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's
on with the show. Y'all say a prayer for me, and thank y'all for giving me a few minutes to let y'all know what my life has been like this last week.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you can always have the stage. It's all up to you, girlfriend. We love you. We're praying for you, and we want our listening audience to do the same. All right. Few stories I wanted to get in here, but we'll get some of these stories at the break at block six. We'll talk about this. But one thing I do want to address here real quick, eclipse. Mr. Elias, did you participate in the eclipse? Did you put your glasses on? Did you do all those wonderful things? It didn't even happen here. I mean, it was freaking clouds everywhere. We couldn't see nothing. So, I mean, did you participate at all, sir?
I sure didn't. I mean, to be honest, I didn't even care about it.
You know, and that's the, you know, and I hate to say that, but it's like, for me and for other African Americans that I know, we were like, okay, and there were white people traveling from
way more important fish than Friday night.
Exactly. There were white people traveling from all over the world to participate in this thing. And it was a big thing on the news. They had a special. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I walked outside. It was cloudy. Yes, I can't see it. Moving on. All right, 347-850-1272 is our calling number, folks. Pray for Vanessa. We're going to step out. It's time for an NPR News update, and we'll be back with the heavy lift of the show after this. 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Sirius on the Day Route Show.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The world is waking up to an uneasy calm hours after an unprecedented Iranian launch of destructive weaponry aimed at Israel. Disaster on the ground was averted through Israeli air power, backed up by numerous allies, including the U.S., the U.K., Jordan, and France. Today, Israel is saying its confrontation with Iran is not over yet. NPR's Rob Schmitz has more from Tel Aviv.
Nearly all of the more than 300 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones launched by Iran at Israel were intercepted, with the U.S. saying it had shot down dozens of drones and missiles. Israel reported minor damage to an airbase from the attack, but no fatalities. Soon after the attack, President Biden held a phone meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, renewing his support for Israel's security. Biden said he'd convene a meeting with G7 leaders to formulate a coordinated diplomatic response to Iran. This was the first time that Iran directly attacked Israel from its own territory, opening a precarious new chapter in the two nations' contentious relationship. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The UN Security Council meets this afternoon. The House of Representatives is shifting its schedule for the coming week to consider legislation to support Israel. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, this comes in response to these latest developments in the Middle East.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said that in light of the attack, the House will change its schedule for the week ahead in order to consider legislation that supports Israel and holds Iran and its proxies accountable. It's not yet clear what type of bill the House may take up to aid Israel. The Senate has already passed a $95 billion measure that dedicated aid for Israel and Ukraine. That package has not been taken up by the House, where blocks of Republican members object to additional funding for Ukraine.
NPR's Barbara Sprunt reporting from Washington. Former President Donald Trump campaigned in Pennsylvania's Lehigh Valley yesterday, just a couple of days before his criminal trial opens in New York City. That's tomorrow. From member station WLVR, Juliana Abraham tells us Trump's court day was clearly on his mind.
Just outside of Allentown, thousands came to hear Trump speak at an outdoor rally. One of Trump's very first talking points was his upcoming criminal trial.
On Monday in New York City, I will be forced to sit fully gagged. I'm not allowed to talk. Can you believe it? They want to take away my constitutional right to talk. I have a crooked judge.
He further alleged that the justice system was being, quote, weaponized against him in order to suppress his presidential run. Last election, Trump lost by just 2% in Pennsylvania, which he falsely attributed to voter fraud. For NPR News, I'm Julian Abraham in Allentown.
This is NPR.
Folks, if we're going to win re-election, I need you by my side from the very start. Whatever you're able to chip in, even if it's just a buck or two, will have a huge impact on our campaign. This might just be our hardest fight yet. Will you make a donation and stand with Kamala and me? It means the world to us. Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
We are following breaking news. This just coming into our newsroom. O.J. Simpson, the former football star who was accused of killing his ex-wife and her boyfriend, has died. His family sharing the news on social media, and I'm just going to read the statement here. On April 10th, our father, Renthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. This is the family's statement. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren during this time of transition. His family asking that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Simpson, a Hall of Fame running back and one of the all-time greats, and also a broadcaster and actor before he faced those murder charges in the 90s and became one of the most celebrated and watched murder trials in all of history. Simpson was found not guilty, but was found guilty later in a civil trial that was filed by the families of the victims.
The news of Ron's killer passing away is a mixed bag of complicated emotions. For three decades, we tirelessly pursued justice for Ron and Nicole, and despite a civil judgment and his confession in If I Did It, the hope for true accountability has ended.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 22 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the DJRS Radio Network. Let me take this opportunity to say good morning to the smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Spree, has blessed us with his presence. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing outstanding, brother. Glad you are. Glad you're in the house this morning. All right. So
you brought me in the right segment, too, because you know I'm going to tear this one up. So.
Well, I knew you were going to be. You know, I said if he's not going to be here, he's going to be here for this one. So, it's going to be a very interesting conversation coming up. As you heard the hit, O.J. Simpson passed away this week of cancer. Apparently was battling prostate cancer. There was actually a post out there, I want to say a month ago, that said that he was in hospice care. But O.J. responded saying, I'm not in hospice care, but unfortunately he succumbed to his battle with cancer, died at the age of 76. Very complicated legacy he leaves behind. When you go back and read some of the comments and you hear from former colleagues and, you know, people who supported the Juice, people who thought the Juice should be in jail, just a mixed barrel of emotions. And so let's get this segment started off, because I'm pretty sure this is going to run overtime. So, Mr. Elias, let me give you the first word like we always do. Give me your thoughts on the death of O.J. Simpson, and let's just start from there. We'll work our way through the conversation.
Well, you know, so, man, anytime, you know, people die, it's a tragedy, you know, for the families, you know. But, you know, man, you know, wow. As bad as some of these other cats were when they died, you could see the hatred on TV for this man. I mean, my God. It was like, you know, TMZ, they did a whole segment on OJ, and then they came back the next day and did some more. Because they disliked this man that much, you know, because this is one of the first brothers, they say they got away with murdering a white woman. But yet and still, you know, this whole thing has got me just perturbed, man, because it showed me how much this man was hated. You know, even though he was found innocent in a court of law, you know,
okay.
And then he didn't have to, and then he got away with not having to pay these people the $36 million that they won in the civil trial, so even it raised him even more. And you know, as much as Harvey Levin from TMZ hated this guy, he says, you know, when he went to jail for the for trying to get his memorabilia back. They said, you know, he said, yeah, they admitted, he said that was just to get back at him for the trial for Nicole Simpson. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're right about that. Yeah, okay. I mean, well, you know, you had cops on tape saying that, you know, we finally got his ass. We finally got this mother ducker. You know, so we, you know, we all know what happened with that. But go ahead, finish your thought.
But like I said, man, they treat this man like, you know, my deal is this, you know, you got people that have killed other people that have not got treated this bad, man. You know?
Give me an example.
Okay,
Zimmerman.
The people that killed Emmett Till. What did they do?
You can't. Well, come on now. You know we were enraged by that. What are you talking about? Not Emmett Till.
What happened to him?
I mean, you're talking about the person who lied.
Okay,
We were all incensed by that.
But was the white community?
There were white people that were incensed by that too.
Did they let them go?
Yeah, but I think but you're comparing. Listen, I get what you're saying, but I think you're comparing different eras. You know, that happened before a lot of us were even born or even old enough to even know what the hell was going on. So yeah, the vitriol
Trayvon
at
Martin.
That what
Trayvon Martin? There you go.
Trayvon Martin. Everybody, people were outraged behind Trayvon Martin. What do you
know?
They
were
talking about. Zimmerman? Oh well, I don't know what
Zimmerman?
You were watching, but. Zimmerman.
Dude, they bought this guy's pistol for how many hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Dude.
He got his ticket at colleges.
Listen. We know that those people exist out there. I mean, that's nothing new. That's not a news flash. But people were genuinely outraged behind that. But we know that. I mean, we know that there are people out there that support those type of guys. Like you said, with the guy that killed those two people, who's the what is his name? Rottenhouse, whatever that guy is. Kyle, whoever, that guy.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
He was on TV and all
Kyle
that stuff.
Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, I get that. But let me, because I know we're getting ready to get into this.
He's a hero.
He's
a hero
of
some of you guys.
Well, you're right. He's a hero amongst those people who think that way. Listen, I'm not debating you guys on that, but you're saying that people hate OJ and they really shouldn't have a reason to hate OJ. I think that's where you're going with this conversation. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
But I'm going to go that way, so you can save that for me.
Okay, well, we'll say that for you. When you're coming up, let me give Vanessa, give me your thoughts on this O.J. Simpson thing, his death, and
y'all
his complicated legacy. Say
y'all
what now?
Got too much going on, so I'm going to say rest in peace, O.J., condolences to his children, and I'm going to let y'all take the rest of it because, I mean, you know, if he wasn't convicted and the racism is always there, and so I just rest in peace. Condolences to the family. There you go, Jerome.
Well, okay.
Opting out.
There you go. Well, opt out. Well, you can opt out. Well, listen, Jerome, give me your thoughts.
No, would you like to go? Because, you know, mine is coming from a whole different perspective. So if you want to go in what you think about this, Jay, I'll respect
that
first.
Let's put it this way. I think, look, the elephant in the room is this, and I'm going to ask everybody this question. I'll start with you, Vanessa. Do you think he killed them, yes or no?
No. No.
Okay. Mr. Elias, do you think he killed them? Yes. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
I think he knows who killed them, but I don't think he did it. Now, that's my answer.
Okay. What about you, Mr. Elias? Do you think he murdered him, yes or no?
Like I said, my answer has always been only God knows. I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
Okay, that's fair enough. I already know what Jerome thinks. What I think, he did it. No, I do. I think he did it. There's no doubt in my mind. Look, there's no doubt in my mind.
Really?
I do. Let me tell you why, Vanessa. Let me tell you why. Now, let me say this, that the judicial system, he went through the process. He's an innocent man. That's the system that we have in place. We can't bitch and complain about it when it doesn't go our way. And that's my problem with this whole thing. And even when he got arrested in Las Vegas, if you guys remember, I was going off on the show about that. Because once again, you know, it was BS how they set that up. Because at the end of the day, they had those cops on audio saying we finally got this mother duck. And then you know what they meant. But I'm going to go back to the O.J. trial. The one thing I would say is this. I think the reason why O.J. got off is simple, in my opinion. First of all, he had an outstanding defense team. The legendary Johnny Cochran. If it don't fit, you must have quit, right? Second, the fact of the matter is they tried to play Mark Furman as this choir boy. Oh, he's a great detective. He has citations out the woo-woo. He's never said the N-word. And then you pull up a tape, and every other word is boo-boo-boo-boo, igga-igga-igga-igga-igga-igga-igga, right? So now you created doubt, okay? Third, they had him try on the Isotona glove. Now, everybody knows, and I know this for a fact, leather shrinks when it gets wet. And I'm pretty sure everyone that's within the sound of my voice saw that crime scene. Those gloves were drenched. They found them on his property. They were drenched. They shrunk. So they had to put on the gloves after they'd been sitting in evidence for I don't know how long with rubber gloves on. The simplicity of it is ridiculous. And then the other part of it I would say is this. The one piece of evidence that they did not present in the criminal trial was the fact that that size 12 Brulo, whatever shoe boots that left the crime scene, right? So they didn't introduce that in the criminal case. But in the civil case, O.J. was on the stand, and they confronted him about that. And what did he say? He said, oh, I wouldn't own those shoes. I never owned those boots. And those were some ugly things. I would never wear those. And guess what they did? They pulled up a photo, him at a Buffalo Bills event, with those same gloves on and the same boots. And he didn't have nothing to say. So listen, people can argue all day long about it. I think he did it, but I will say this. The criminal justice system spoke. He was an innocent man. And that's all I have to say about it. Jerome, I'll give it to you.
All right. Thank you, Jay. You saddened me. And so here's the thing.
Sorry.
About all of this. I am really sad at this moment, and here's why, right? It's easy to demonize black people, right? And just because he has some freaking shoes or some gloves, that has nothing to do with this case. I mean, nothing, okay. Right? Circumstantial evidence is just what it is, right?
True.
So the marketing against OJ was absolutely crazy. So I'll give you some really fundamental things that happened in that case, because I did not watch the defense, but I watched all of the prosecution. And if you can go back, and I'm not even sure you can find this on YouTube, but if you find the jurors who got interviewed, they were shocked that anybody was upset about that. They said, we don't understand why everybody's so up in arms. It was blatantly obvious that he wasn't even there. That was obvious. What happened? And I'll go really, like, I'll try to be a little fast with this, but even when they said, oh, there's blood evidence, they showed the police officer with the video camera, and they kept asking me if the time date stamp was correct. And he kept saying, yes. Do you check it? Yes. It's right. Well, how come the earlier film that you had no blood in the back gate, but then 3 hours later there was blood in the back gate? How come there was no bloody sock in his room when you filmed earlier, but later on there was a bloody sock? How come all of these things that we have proof, like we're watching with our own eyes, 3 hours later, all of that stuff was planted. They actually got a vial of blood from OJ on the scene. And his dumb self was like, you know, they said, hey, if you give us blood, we'll be able to exclude you from all of this other blood that's on the scene. And like a nut, he actually let them draw blood from him on the scene. So people go, oh, why is there blood if he ain't do it? They drew blood for him on the scene, put it in the back of a police car with the evidence, and then rode around with it for hours before they turned it in. Right? Okay, so if I exclude all of that, all of it, Johnny Cochran did a great job. If you don't know this about your cell phones, they track you. So they triangulate from the cell tower that your phone call originates from.
Yeah.
So Johnny Cochran said to the prosecution in front of the judge when the jury wasn't even there, the jury didn't even see this part, he said, make them give us his cell phone records. He made a phone call. We know where he was. And Marcia Clark asked, the prosecutor said, oh, AT&T said they don't have it and they don't have a backup. And Johnny Cochran argued with them for 2 days. Make them give us that. And they would not give it to them. Oh, we can't find it. Next, she had a boyfriend with her, right? She was actually dating somebody. That dude leaves the country. So Johnny Cochran comes up and says, make them find, tell us where he is. And the prosecution says, oh, we don't know where he is, Judge. He left the country. Where was her current boyfriend? So I'm just going to, I will throw that out there just to tell you how shaky their whole case was. And then they came back to OJ and they tried to make him seem like, you know, and which Jay is going by, is what most people, the 90% of people who watch the summaries off of regular TV, what they do is they summarize it like, OJ had a bad day today. Oh, there was a glove. Oh, there was this. And they're not even telling you the counter of that was they knew that stuff was planted. So it wasn't just the Mark Furman that he was some racist dude who was known for planting evidence. It wasn't that. It was literally the evidence didn't show it. So the guy Ron Goldman who was killed had contusions on his hand and scuffs on his feet. That dude was like a second or third degree black belt, right? He fought whoever killed him. OJ has a really bad limp. So if you watch the Naked Gun movies, because he's not the guy who played football at Buffalo Bills. If you watch the bad limp that he has when, you know, Priscilla Presley has a black baby or something and then they chase him down the hall, OJ has a bad limp. OJ can't run, right? Yeah, everybody's
also
making him out.
He also has back problems, Jerome. He also has some back, like, spine problems or something.
Yes. That earlier that day, he went to pick his daughter up from the recital and could not lift her. Above him, he couldn't straighten his arms. So she jumps up in his arms, and he tries to straighten his back up, and he put her back down. He couldn't even lift. That was earlier in the day. That dude is not Superman. So also, I will give you F. Lee Bailey, who was one of his attorneys, wrote this 2,000-word document entitled The Simpson Verdict. It's F. Lee Bailey if you want to look it up. And they said that the evidence held back in that trial, which he was acquitted, right? The evidence says that, you know, the defense team prepared four people to call to testify who never testified. It was a forensic scientist, an expert on battered women, a blood expert, and a person whose possible testimony was the most important of all four. That man probably seen the killers. He was walking his dog. He saw Nicole talking to two guys, and he pulled his dog back. Because Nicole's dog was found by a neighbor with blood on him, and they knew that whoever it was, that the dog just left the scene after, you know, after it happened. And his dog knew the dog. So he pulled his dog back so the dog wouldn't come over to him, and the people there would not see him. They know this stuff is true. So we won't update our history to correct jack squat. We just put allegations on somebody and keep it for the rest of their lives. But we know more now than we even knew then. So watching people like Fox News, watching white folks demonize black people for the rest of their lives is crazy to me. Because every year we're going to have a new OJ story that says, oh, we got evidence that he did it, or I just feel like he did it. You know what? I take the lead of Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson went to jail for raping that girl and he said he never did it, when he got out, they asked him, are you going to help battered women? And he said, F you. I did all that time. I didn't get out early. I did nothing for something I didn't do. You think I'm going to feel sorry for you? I'm sure OJ took the same stance with this whole thing. So anyway, with F. Lee Bailey, again, the defense team would not call any witnesses out of fear that additional jurors would be dismissed or a mistrial would be declared, because that trial was 8 months. So they didn't want to add on anything else. So Simpson's lawyer claims the real killer were out to collect a drug debt from Nicole and Goldman after they mistook them for their targets. They're not saying they was coming at them. They said they mistook them for somebody else. That was that. That was the defense's theory. But they didn't even put on a defense because they knew that the trial was too long, and they knew that if they get a juror dismissed, that they would just pretty much delay it or they would get a mistrial declared. So you have to look at all those factors. And I'm only telling you this because as a person who watched that stuff and who kind of picked through it, it's like watching the Million Man March. When Minister Farrakhan dies, they're going to tell a whole new story that there wasn't a million people there. But those of us who were there understand that. So it is our responsibility when something happens like this, and white folks, the media, our society, just the conservative white supremacist part of how history is given to black folks, there are black folks who in particular need to come out and tell the truth. We need to stand up and stand on our own words because I'm not telling you that somebody else told me this stuff. I sat there like everybody else. They broadcast it 24 hours a day. I mean, you can actually see the actual trial. So go find the jurors. Go look it up. Again, I'm sure it's scrubbed from the internet. But ask those folks what happened because they sat there through the whole thing. Don't let these white folks who are summarizing on TV and on Fox News tell you what it is that you just saw. We need to be smarter than that. And, you know, on this show, I'm going to wrap up, but, you know, on this show, that is something that I always keep in mind when it comes to information is that we need to give facts inside of our stories. I don't usually give my opinion, but it is sad to me that we keep summarizing other black people by the through the lens of people who cannot even relate to them. So in that case, I'm just going to say, go look up the Simpson verdict by F. Lee Bailey. And that will give you a little bit more insight than watching any of these fools on TV. They have their own agendas.
Fair enough. Now, let me respond because you said some things in there that I want to respond to. First of all, I watch that trial every day. Okay. My opinion.
And you didn't see anything I said.
Look, I didn't see some of the things. No, I didn't see some of the things you said because, like you said, some of the stuff came out after the fact. But I know I watched that trial every day, every day. And when that verdict was read, I remember sitting down like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Once again, by the letter of the law, the man's innocent. And I don't OJ bash. You've never heard me bash OJ. Never. Matter of fact, when they took him into custody in that Las Vegas nonsense, I was going off. Because every now and then I do have these tangents and I just go off on the show. I try to control them, but I go off. And I went off on that show, if you go back and look it up, because we talked about that on this program. So at the end of the day, you know, I watched it and that's the conclusion that I came to. And, you know, okay. That's, you know, once again, like all Vanessa, here comes your favorite saying, you know, that's why Baskin and Robbins has 33 flavors. I'm not going to sit here and knock you for what you were saying. And listen, I agree with a lot of the things that you just said. I'm not going to let anybody villainize our people. You're never going to hear me down talk our folks just to be down talking folks based on what white people say. I'm not going to do that. But at the end of the day, when I watched it, that's the conclusion that I came to. Now, there's some things you just said, like right now. I'm thinking, me and Mr. LES was talking about this the other day. And I was telling him about a documentary that I watched. I've seen a lot of documentaries on this. I was fascinated by that case. I took time off from work to watch that case. Matter of fact, when it happened, I was in charge of a – I was in the military when it happened. And I was in charge of a customer service area, and we had a TV in there. And so I had the TV on. I watched that thing from beginning to end. And I try to watch every documentary out there about this particular situation. I've seen a lot, but there's one that I saw, and I wish I could remember the name of it. It was very detailed. They introduced and talked to a lot of OJ's friends, and you know how they say, hey, we have information from this guy, and then they show him with OJ on different. So they talked to a lot of friends. They talked to a lot of family, and they had this one lead detective that was the main narrative on this thing. And they asked this guy at the very end of this documentary, and he said, they said, so do you think O.J. did it? He says, there's no doubt in my mind that O.J. Simpson killed those two. He says, but let me tell you, here's the one caveat that I cannot explain, and that's why I agree with the jury's decision. He said, at the end of the day, they did not find O.J. Simpson's DNA under Nicole Brown Simpson's fingernails. He said, I can't explain that. And so they did the right thing. He's an innocent man based on the facts of the case. And the facts of the case, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And he said he did not, because I cannot explain to you why his DNA was not under her fingernails. Can't explain it. And, right. and that was the end of it. And I sat there and I said, well, I mean, you, well, it's, well,
you weren't
you already,
there.
We already know. Well, of course you didn't say that. And that's fine.
Okay, so here's the thing, Jay, and I understand what you're saying, but I don't take that out of people well, right, to say I can't explain why this didn't happen or why we can't prove that he was there because I
well,
think that
he
killed
said.
Him. Oh, but I know he did. That's what I'm saying. It is, yeah. It's just like with Bill Cosby. They both are jerks, right? So if you start asking their friends and family, all these people that they wronged, they probably were mean to women. He was an athlete. He and Nicole was sleeping around. Shoot, and so these are things that were actually known internal to all of them. I'm not even concerned about that, right? And the issue is I was not an O.J. fan at all. Like, I'm not a Bill Cosby fan. But I can tell you this. Just because you have, it's like anybody who's been in the criminal justice system generally, you can't use old stuff against them because you don't like their attitude or who they are. Railroading people is just railroading it. And so it's easier. It is a thing that the CIA does. The reason that when they were putting crack in South Central and moving drugs in there, they used people who were drug addicts as informants. They used people who've been in jail as distributors, because you can easily discredit them fools when you go to court. That's why they do that. So just because they have bad character doesn't let me just ignore all of my senses of oppression, right? And it really doesn't. It is like trying to go back and correct history generally. I can tell you a ton of history, and you'll be like, I never heard that before. And everything I heard proves the contrary. And that's probably because all of those people who were giving you information already had a bias. He told you he had a bias, but I can't explain why he has no DNA evidence there, right? You can't explain why the glove that was in the back of his house, there was a stick next to the glove, and there was no blood around anything but the leaves. Well, as little kids, people picked up sticks, picked up things they didn't want to touch with a stick, and threw it over a freaking fence. That's like a half hour of murder she wrote. You cannot, you can't read into that stuff anything else other than what happened. Because yeah. He should not have come unscathed. I don't care about his personality. I don't know him. But for me to have any kind of emotion against that man is crazy. And so now that he's passed, people are rushing out here to solidify their ignorance against that man because of the marketing that was done against him. I would watch the same thing, but they would paraphrase on the news something totally different than what happened. And people would say, oh, I read his body language. Oh, you know, blah. So what? The issue is that if you're on a jury, the thing was, it wasn't a reasonable doubt. And I know people keep saying that, like, you know, that if they can convict them without, you know, with reasonable doubt, they have to let him go. There was no doubt. Those jurors was like, we don't even understand what y'all was watching. They didn't understand it. They were like, it's blatantly obvious that dude wasn't even there. Yeah. So I am saying, I don't know where you can get all eight months of that trial, but if you just watch the prosecution, not the defense, because the defense is going to be the defense, but if you watch the prosecution, you will see, like, that Marsha Clark flew to Detroit and found his ex-wife, this black woman, and some 6'8" policeman sticks his foot in her door and throws a subpoena in there. And they tried to intimidate his wife, his former wife, to say that he beat her. She was like, he ain't never put his hands on me. And then Marsha Clark said, can we treat her like a hostile witness? You shouldn't have called her.
But you know what, guys? OJ is gone. And what we went through with him, and I watched it, y'all. I was a social worker for the state of Texas, and I had a little bitty mini TV on my desk that I was looking at. And when I had a client in my office, I would cut the volume down. So OJ got away with it, if he got away with it, damn, look at how many things the white people that got away with. So hell to the brother if he got away with it, because white people get away with killing black children and have for years. So if people are wasting their time going back, looking up some crap about OJ, when they need to be out here trying to get rid of Donald Trump's ass, that I don't get it. So, you know, hey, OJ didn't have to get, OJ lived off of his retirement. Those Goldman people couldn't get none of his retirement. So when he got out of prison, he should have been living his best life because he still had buku money. And if he got away with it, hurrah to the brother that got away with it. Because white people have been getting away with killing all of these other kids.
Don't leave it at that. He did not get away with it. He didn't do it.
Well,
we're way over, all right? So I think everybody that's listening to the show. Okay, everybody know where we stand on this. Jerome, you did bring up some excellent points. And, you know, hey, listen, man, I'm not too big to say, hey, I may need to look at this with a different set of eyes. But, you know, appreciate you bringing those things up. He's gone, like Vanessa said. Let the man rest in peace. Rest in peace, Juice. And we'll be right back after this. It's Covina time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the reimagined cartoon series Good Times. And I was not happy with what I saw, I'll be honest with you. Well, not only was I not happy, but we're going to hear from Thelma, because Thelma wasn't happy either. It's Covina time in 4 minutes or less. Something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this. 347-850-1272. It is the Serious Side on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Ever since the trailer for Netflix's Good Times animated reboot was released, it's been getting a negative response from viewers online. Although everyone is judging the show just by its trailer, one of the main criticisms seems to come from negative stereotypes, something that both John Amos and Esther Rolle, stars of the original series, fought so hard to prevent. Now Bernadette Stanis, who played Thelma Evans in the live-action version, recently sat down with TMZ and is speaking out against the reboot because it doesn't look like a progressive portrayal, like she was assured when she agreed to voice a small role. Like all of us, she's reserving her full judgment until she sees the full thing, but still has her doubts.
So when you see something that actually is not progressive, it kind of brings you back into the project. So you have positive images generations before that, and then all of a sudden you see this. I'm not knocking it because I don't know what the whole show is going to be. Maybe they'll bring it more back, you know, back to a more positive situation. But when you have the name Good Times, our audience of 50 years has been really in our corner. They were disappointed that they didn't have it more progressive as the way I was told it would be.
During the interview, Stanis revealed that back in 2020, it was actually Jimmy Walker, who played J.J. Evans in the original, that pitched a Good Times cartoon to Norman Lear's camp, with most of the original cast involved. Now, according to Stanis, they didn't hear anything back initially, but months later, Sony announced a cartoon based on the show was in the works, and the original cast would not take part in the new reboot. However, both Stanis and Walker were offered small voice acting roles. She would also go on to say that she was told this new animated series would be progressive. The new Good Times reboot debuts 50 years after the original live-action version. With doubtful reactions from actors, John Amos and now Bernadette Stanis, and the disapproval of Eric Monty's family, one of the original co-creators, a show that once had interest around it, is now met with hesitation based on the preview alone. So what do you guys think of Bernadette Stanis' reaction to the Good Times animated reboot? Will you be watching?
The NAACP is committed to equality for all people, especially the equality of foundational Black Americans. Every other child gets a chance at economic equality. Every other child gets a chance at living the best life they possibly can. Doesn't he deserve a chance too? Learn more at NAACP.org.
Online radio at its best.
So we have this issue of a Biden decline in young voters, and you can see that he's trying to address that with forgiving student loan. And then he has a very serious issue with black voters as well. And, you know, he had a moment at this Chick-fil-A where he gave a big hug to this woman who was very positive about the Trump candidacy in Georgia, this was. And she joined them on Fox and Friends this morning to talk a little bit about why she supports President Trump. Let's just watch this and get your reaction to it, please. Here we go.
I think, and this is a sentiment I get a lot coming from the young people themselves, is that they feel like he's honest. They feel like this is somebody who, while we might not agree with how he says things, how he goes about things, at least he's telling us what it is. We don't feel like this is a snake in the grass waiting for his chance to bite. This is somebody who's telling us, this is what my plan is.
God bless the child that has it all. 56 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the serious side of the J. Rowell Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio. And it's best. What is wrong with these young black folks? Oh, my God. If I had a dollar, Vanessa, for every African-American that I've seen on TV, on a variety of networks talking about how Trump, you know, he tells it like it is. You know, when you would say things like the youth vote is, you know, is in jeopardy, I would be like, yeah, right, whatever. That's just a few nuts. But more and more, I'm seeing young African-American people saying that Trump is their candidate by choice. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why. This is a man who called, you know, your country of origin, you know, an asshole country. This is a man that black people who have worked for him in the past said he's racist. And how can you part your lips and say anything positive about this man unless you're some rapper that makes millions and millions of dollars? So, Vanessa, what does, first of all, your stance on this has been that the black vote, the young youth folks are not paying attention. They're not engaged. You know, the Biden campaign needs to pay more attention to what they're doing. But I'm starting to see more and more of these folks step in front of a microphone and say, hey, they ain't, you know, they down with Trump. I can't even believe I just said that. So, Vanessa, give me your thoughts on this, and what does President Biden have to do to bring these young people back into his camp?
I don't know, but I did tell y'all that it was 22% of the black people that got Trump into office. I told y'all that.
Mm.
And so I'm around. Jay, you got kids about that age to be talking to and listening to?
Well, they not saying that. That's for damn sure. That's for damn sure.
That one of my daughter's friends was over here about 2 weeks ago, and he asked, and I told him to make sure he went and vote. And he said, oh, well, is it anything in particular I need to vote for? Remember, I told him, you need to get Ted Cruz out of office because he's going to be on the ballot. I'm telling you, these kids are not paying attention. They're not paying attention. They're educated children. Bobby, I'll be talking about you. But good job. But they're not listening and paying attention to the news and stuff that's going on. They're not. So I am, my daughter's, oh yeah, Les, I hope you're in town. We're going to give my daughter a 40th birthday party. So it's going to be a bunch of people about her age out there. I'm just going to make one announcement. All thing I got to say to you children is enjoy yourself, but make sure y'all go and vote Trump out of office. I swear to God, I'm going to say it. Because they are not, some of them are saying that they think that Trump is crazy, and there's some of them that are saying that I think that Trump can get my 401k back up. They don't realize that it is what Biden has done that is getting the 401k up, because Trump just lost $56 million on some stock that was just by name. $56 million is what he just lost 2 weeks ago just on stock.
He's atrocious. You know, Jerome, I know how you feel about polls. And so I guess the million-dollar question is, should the Biden campaign be worried about this? I mean, because I wasn't worried about it. But the more and more I'm starting to see this, I'm thinking, okay, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, is there a situation where he could, you know, have issues with young African-American voters going into this election cycle?
Well, okay, so, you know, polls have a purpose. But
yeah.
You don't rest them on just pretty much the angle of your campaign. You don't rest them on polls. They just give you an angle of strategy. So
right.
Here's what the polls are not telling you. A great portion of the people who voted for Trump are not voting for him.
That's true.
So he needs about probably 95% of the people who voted for him before to still
mm-hmm.
vote for him. That is not what's happening on the Republican side. That's why you have about 7 or 8 congressmen resigning, because they can see
yeah.
this onslaught coming. They can see
but
it coming.
Don't you think Kennedy's going to take some, Jerome? Don't you think
Kennedy's
going to
take some? No, because the people who are probably not going to vote for Biden anyway is probably going to go with Kennedy, because the independent people, that's a big area that we're talking about. Those women are not playing when it's coming to this Roe versus Wade stuff, all of these attacks on women's rights, and those white men acting like they don't give a rat's about it. You're not getting those women. So you can blame young black people all you want to, but young folks don't pay attention to voting anyway. And I know I've said this on the show before, but when you're doing polling, what normally happens is that they ask their parents, right? So the person who votes the most in your family, they usually go, I don't even know who I'm voting for. But that's an old story. That always happens. I don't blame them for not knowing. I blame us as their elders for not giving them some information about who and why they should be voting. Because
right.
if you vote and don't know anything about anything, or a little bit from what you've seen on the news, you probably shouldn't vote. Hmm. Right? So it's our job. They have elders. I spoke to college students last week about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have been out of school longer than you have been born. So
you're telling your age, Jerome. You're telling your age, brother.
It's not your it is not your responsibility to know all when you have elders that know, right? I'm still pretty young there, Jay, but I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
Okay.
They're 17. I've been out at 17, 18 years old.
College students.
So, you know, yeah, college. They're just in college, like freshmen. And you have to understand that you don't have all of that information, and it's wrong for us to expect you to know it. And it's wrong for us to expect these schools to tell you anything outside of your culture, right? Like, they're going to tell you what they want you to do. So most of your information is coming one-sided.
I do expect 35-year-old people, Jerome, to know, though. I do expect 35-year-old people to know what, and 40 who are homeowners and got good jobs to know what is going on. I do expect that from them, but I am
right.
getting to be a little disappointed.
Well, I understand that, because we all can be a little disappointed. But just remember Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of the Negro, kind of talks about this, right? He was very educated. And what he was saying in that book, the moral of that story is there are two educations, the one that somebody else gives you and the one that you give yourself, but the one that you give yourself is longer lasting and more meaningful. And it is our responsibility to let them know, just because you went to school don't make you smart. And wisdom does come with age. And what I did when I was little, I stayed around my elders. Most of the stuff that I know did not really come from me. I didn't just think this stuff up out of thin air. I actually spent time around my elders, and they need to spend time around or listen to their elders to some degree. They just don't have an example of that happening. So, yes, it could be disappointing, but at the same time, everybody doesn't seek information. Some people are just materialistic, and they go about their life about what they have and what you don't. It's not a good way to live, but we have to kind of tell them that as we go.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, those polls are usually, you know, they usually poll the same people over and over again. And like I said, 60%, over 60% of white males vote Democrat. About 50-something percent of white females always vote Democrat. When those numbers skew, then they favor the Republicans, but they very rarely do. So nobody goes to white males and be like, how come y'all not voting Democrat? We don't do that. We just do that to black people. We're so used to scrutinizing our own numbers that they would say things like, you know, 89% of black females vote Democrat, but only 79% of black males. It's like, so? Like, I don't understand what your arguments are, right? People think differently, and they're not paying attention. So you're going to get that. It is our job, and it's the campaign's job, to get out a message that will make people want to support you, not dislike the other guy. That's a grown-up way to look at dealing with politics. We can't force them to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Mr. Elias, man, what's up, man? You tell people every week to get out and vote. Talk to these African-American people, man, some of these young folks who are – I want you to make a case because I know you can do it. Make the case to black folks who are even considering to vote for Trump why that's a badass idea.
Well, here's the bad idea. You know, go read Project 2025. It's a close to 1,000-page dossier of how they are going to restructure the whole country. And once, you know, I talked to some kids the other day, and it kind of blew me away when we were talking. They say, you know, OG, you got to realize when Trump was in office, we was getting that PPP money. We was getting that money. We was getting them dollars. I said, hey, man, you got Google, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, well, you should do some research then and realize that all Donald Trump did was sign your checks. That was the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and those guys that got you that money. So you probably should do some research and stop telling me because Donald Trump signed a check that he got you the money. I said, you guys do not do any research. That's the problem. You allow everything you see on TikTok or Facebook to be the truth. You don't do any research. So you got to do your research. And the Biden campaign, God bless them, but they got to start listening to people. Because if you listen to some of these people, you know, the economy is in a great position. It's in an excellent. It's better than any other country in the world. Our economy is on point. But it's not reflecting at the grocery stores. You know why? Because these people are price gouging. It's not reflecting at the pump. We're pumping more oil than we've ever pumped before in the United States of America. It's not reflecting at the pump because these companies are making record profits off of us. I mean, what can the Biden administration do? Their hands are tied. It's up to us. I don't support people that price gouge. I don't. If I go to a store and your stuff is higher than this, I don't buy it. I don't need that bad.
Let me ask you a question, though. I mean, so this message that you're putting out here, how would that resonate with folks where that's not even an issue for them? They have money. They don't care about that type of stuff. They're willing to pay it. But how does that reach the black voter that those issues are not really big issues for them? People who are struggling, absolutely. But I'm saying I don't give a damn how much money you make. For you to vote for Trump for the things that he said, I'm trying to get you to talk those people off the ledge.
I know that's right.
You can't. Those people are going to vote for Trump regardless because those people are going to vote for him because of their pocket votes.
But
if they got that kind of money,
make the case, though,
okay,
man.
Okay, if you look at, okay, I just said Project 2025. Go out there and read that manifesto. Where they are forcing your kids into the military now. If your kids are in school and it's funded by the federal government, guess what they're going to do to you? They're going to force your kids into the military because you got to take that aptitude test. It's going to be a requirement for you even to graduate to take that aptitude test. Look at how they're looking at taking away discrimination. There's going to be no discrimination at all. You can't claim discrimination. So if somebody at a bank treats you like trash, they're just going to treat you like trash where your money lies.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Jay, when I was on the last week. It was a bunch of military people had T-shirts that said they were whatever their troop or whatever it was. Anyway, it was a whole bunch of them on there. So one of them had a child, and he said to me and Bobby that he was fixed to be deployed to Europe. I didn't question him, Jay. I just wanted to know from you what did this comment mean. And he said about traveling and even through work, meaning the military, he had to watch where he was going and the troops that he would be around. That's what he said, Jay.
Now, who said this? Who said this?
A military person that was talking to black.
Okay.
A military person with his family. Him and his wife were both in the military. And he's being deployed.
Right. Okay.
But he was saying, in general, to us, to me and Bobby, be careful where you travel. And even for me, through work, this is what he's saying.
Right.
I have to be careful of where they send me and the troops that I will be around. Is he saying that some of the people that's white in the troops might treat him funny?
I didn't
question him. I just looked stunned when he told us that.
Right. Well, listen, today's military is different than the military that I was in. Because, and I give you a prime example, General, what's the guy's name that was the former Joint Chiefs? I think his name is Nelly. But anyway, you know, he spoke out against a commander-in-chief. The military, that's not your job. You're not supposed to question, you're not supposed to speak out publicly about a former president or a former commander-in-chief. We live in a different world. You know, I told the story in this show a long time ago about how there was a situation that happened, and it was me and another white non-commissioned officer. And so I had to go and appear in front of a command sergeant major that everybody on post knew he was racist. They was like, you know, it was like, "Sarnar, bro, it's a wrap. You're not going to win this thing because you know he's going to go with that white soldier." And I was convinced that that's exactly what was going to happen. And when I walked into his office to hear his verdict, he said, "Look, Sergeant Ryan, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I'm going to rule in your favor." And I looked at him like, "What? What, Command Sergeant Major?" And he kind of picked up on the fact that I was looking at him sideways. And he says, "Let me tell you something, son." He says, "I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a favorable opinion of black folks. I grew up in the Deep South." He said, "I can't even tell you if I have any black friends or not. Matter of fact, I know I don't have any black friends." He said, "But I'm going to tell you something else." He said, "But, you know, I respect what's on my collar. What's on my collar represents, that's what I represent. That's first. So my personal feelings are second based on what their Army regulations." He said, "I'm a military guy. I'm a lifer." And I was stunned by this. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is this is a new breed. And so these guys in the military now, when you have Trump, you have a president that did not want to be photographed with soldiers who had missing limbs. We've talked about this on the show a lot, how this guy said people in Arlington, they're suckers. You know, so for anyone who's African-American, for anyone who's a military person to support this maniac, you have to ask yourself the question, what the hell are you looking at? So, Vanessa, to answer your question, I mean, look, you got to keep your head on a swivel. And I think I even said this on the show last week that, you know, there was a time where I was flying over this country, and I looked down and said, you know what? Some of the people that I'm flying over right now, if they had me one-on-one and could lynch me, they would. And it's just a solemn thought. So I pray for that young man, and I hope that, you know, he has a successful military career, because I love the military despite some of the nonsense that we're dealing with today. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. You can be a part of the show. We're going to step out, take a break. More to come, folks. We'll be right back.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
Once upon a time, in a place called Mzansi, the people loved driving cars everywhere. They used lots and lots of electricity and chopped down many trees for firewood. And then a very strange thing happened. The weather began to change.
In some places there were droughts where before there was rain. In other places the rivers flooded. The grown-ups realized they were contributing to the strange weather. They discovered if they used clean energy and less electricity, they could save Mzansi for their children.
What happened then?
How the story unfolds is up to each and every one of us. Switch off, recycle, change. Help save tomorrow, today.
Online radio at its best.
Tonight, an independent investigation underway after this traffic stop turned deadly. Chicago police body camera video capturing the incident that ended with officers firing a barrage of bullets, killing 26-year-old Dexter Reed. Police say Reed fired first.
Roll the windows down.
The ordeal unfolding just after 6 p.m. March 21st. Reed in the driver's seat of his white SUV, surrounded by five plainclothes tactical officers, guns drawn, who initially pulled him over for not wearing a seatbelt, and can be heard yelling commands at Reed.
Unlock the doors
now! In the video, Reed appears to ignore those commands.
Open the door now!
That's when Reed, investigators say, fired at officers and striking this officer, according to authorities, in the wrist. The officers scatter and immediately return fire, four officers unloading 96 rounds in 41 seconds. During the gunfire, Reed exits the vehicle and falls to the ground and appears to be shot multiple times. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson today.
Shooting a police officer can never be condoned. And we also have to be very clear that we hold our police to the highest of standards.
Reed, at the time of the incident, was facing charges for allegedly carrying a gun into a street festival. His mother, heartbroken.
I killed him! I killed him! Thank you.
Authorities say a gun was recovered from the front seat of Reed's vehicle. Those officers are now on administrative leave as that independent investigation is conducted.
Welcome again, 347-850-1272. It's 22 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. This past Chicago police in the news again. You know, we do these stories so much. I don't want us to be desensitized by them at all. So I'm really confused. I'm struggling with how to start the conversation off because in most cases, we have a situation where the cops are shooting unarmed people, right? And so when, quote unquote, a justified shooting takes place, we're still looking at it. We're still looking at it through the lens of we're skeptical. And the first thing that caught my attention when I heard this story was pulled over because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And it took five plainclothes officers with guns drawn. What type of traffic stop is that? So is it a situation where maybe they ran his plates and maybe he had some outstanding warrants and they used, quote unquote, the no seatbelt violation as a reason to pull him over because there was no warrant for his arrest out? Maybe. I don't know. I just don't understand how five police officers can pull someone over for a traffic violation with their guns drawn. And the fact that he shot at them, because you can see that on the video, first, you know, opened up or gave these officers the permission to shoot and kill them. And in most cases, most police regulations, and I know this from being on a reactionary force in the military, that once you engage a target, you're supposed to continue, it says continuous fire until the threat has been neutralized. So that being said, let me go to you, Jerome, because the one story that sticks out with me, the one story I remember the most when you came on this show, when you became a member of what we do on a consistent basis, you told the story about the young man who attended, I think his name is Bill. He had gone to a bachelor party and how the officers just shot. That story has resonated with me from day one. And then even Mr. Elias, the story that resonates with you when you talk about Chicago police officers again shooting someone multiple times. But in both those earlier cases, neither one of those gentlemen had a weapon. But in this case, you know, this guy shot at them first, and then they just unloaded on him. So what are we to make of this, Terrell? What are we to make of this? Should we be enraged by the fact that this man was shot 96 times? Where do we go?
Well,
be our spiritual leader on this one, man. Talk to us.
Yeah, well, in addition to that, to those other examples, you know, I know someone, Johnny Gamage, who was killed by Pittsburgh police when his cousin, Ray Seals, was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they went to the Super Bowl and all of that.
That's right. Forgot about
that. Yeah, Johnny had two master's degrees. Like, he driving a Jaguar, and he stopped at a light or a stop sign or something, and the police says, oh, you rolled through a stop sign, and, you know, a bunch of police showed up. He was smaller than Tupac, so he could have been a buck 25 easy, and they, you know, put their knees on him and asphyxiated him. He had no weapons. And then they said, oh, they thought his cell phone was a weapon. Yeah, but you knew when you pulled him out of the car that was a cell phone, right? So we need to kind of go back again and, you know, start from scratch with the fact that police officers are playing, right? Because the first thing they do when they kill somebody is say that they're scared. This is just kind of routine defense for them. And they're not scared of black folks like that, because I can tell you there's a case in New York State where this kid gets pulled over. He was pointing a shotgun at state troopers driving down the highway. And when they ran his plate, they found out that his father was a sheriff. And he got out of the car, and they said, drop the gun. He pointed at them. They never fired once at that kid. Right? So their fear level for black folks has to go beyond them doing their job or this is what our regulations are. It has to do with the fear of black folks. And white folks never like to talk about this. Black people don't like to talk about it either. We don't really deal with it because we would like to think that people have grown up, like, are grown beyond that. But their irrational fear of black folks always kick in. And we need to start talking about their pathology again, because all police departments have the same problem, right? There's a certain segment of the population that are always your enemy, right? Mm-hmm. It's military. That's why a lot of the police officers come out of military, right? It's like, identify the target, take them down. You're a peace officer, right? So, I'm not saying that I would have done this, but I don't know anything about that case or anything about the young man that was in the car. But I'm telling you, if a bunch of policemen pull up to you with their guns drawn and you had a gun, I'm just saying, you're going to try to protect yourself too. Because there's a lot of bad police officers that we don't like to acknowledge. And if he recognized one of them, he's like, oh, here goes this thing again. Nobody is going to voluntarily be a victim, you know, all the time. So I can't judge it because I don't know anything about the situation. But this is a real problem. It's a real problem.
It is. And Vanessa, you know, just to, once again, to try to, you know, for folks who may not have heard of this case or may not know all the facts pertaining to this case, the police released the police dash cam. The vest cams. And, they were like, hey, get out the car, roll your window down. And he rolled his window down halfway, and they were like, get out the car. And they were trying to open the car. They had their weapons drawn. And then that's when he engaged them. So they gave him a number of orders that he just said, I'm not doing, for whatever reasons. And then he shot at them. So once again, how should we feel about this? I mean, because, listen, I'm not a fan of police shooting black folks. You know, none of us are. And every time we get the opportunity to point it out, we do. Sometimes it's redundant, but I feel that if we're not going to cover these stories, then no one else will. Because at some point, you know, you get desensitized to this stuff. It's like, oh my God, here we go. If we wanted to, we can just do a show for the next 4 months on black folks being shot by the cops. And we would have a different topic probably every show, every segment, a different name at least, not a different topic. So how should we feel about this? Because I remember when a young man got shot in Chicago, and he was running down this alley, and he shot him, and there was a photo, camera caught him ditching a gun. And we had a debate about that on this show. So how should we feel about this? What should be our approach, our thought process when something like this happens?
You know, I am sitting here looking at this telephone, shaking my head like, I don't know what the approach should be. And then the next one is like, I'm so sick of this happening. And then the next one is it going to ever stop in my lifetime? So why I say, and y'all can write Jay some ugly letters if you want to, that's why I say, if OJ got away with it, okay, white folk get away with shooting and killing people all the time. All the time. So I'm just over it. I mean, you know.
But let me ask you this. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, it just seems like they're just going to get away with it. Just nothing has changed. I mean, when I think about Trayvon and Zimmerman, I mean, because there's a person that looks just like Zimmerman that Bobby and I see all the time. And we say, there goes Zimmerman. He looks just like him. And I still think it is Zimmerman, but Bobby won't let me ask him.
Bobby, oh, my God. Are you serious?
Ask him so bad. I do. I want to ask him so bad if he's Zimmerman.
You know why? It's because you don't want to know. You don't want to know what your reaction is going to be if you find out that it's him, so don't ask. There's no good outcome here.
The voice of reason. Listen, no good outcome from that.
I can't get over Zimmerman. Out of all the things, Zimmerman, the man who got killed on the sidewalk with some cigarettes, Floyd, and I can't get over that little white girl who killed that baby, said her daddy did it.
So
I don't know about that one now. I didn't hear about
girl,
the white lady.
I went for years out of Florida. She buried that baby.
Oh, you talking about, she got, yeah, she's out too.
God.
What's her name? I can't remember her name.
I can't get over that case. And nothing, you don't even hear about that little girl. And you don't even hear anything about Zimmerman. These people have killed and done some crazy stuff and gotten away with it. I'm just so sick of it. I'm sick of the police officers with, do y'all know that little children are probably scared of police officers? When your mama used to walk up to them and say, see, tell the nice police officer hi. They ain't doing that now. Kids are scared of black or police officers.
Yeah. You're talking about Casey. You're talking about that girl, Casey Anthony. That's who you're talking
about. Yeah.
Well, I forgot all about her. Wow, that was crazy.
She got away with that. I'm just telling you, like you said, a case that Jerome and a case with Les, I'm just telling you the cases that just stick in my head, and I just don't think I'm going to ever forget them. And they're not, and she's not a black case, but Zimmerman and the man with the cigarettes in New York was. I can't believe that they said to that man in New York.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know who I'm talking about?
You're talking about Eric Garner.
Eric Garner, who was choked for having a loose cigarette or something.
Yes, that's what she's talking about.
I know. And that is the sickest one, one of the sickest ones, because people were standing around yelling to get off of them. And they still, with that crowd, you know, telling them the guy just applied more pressure. These guys are literally killers on this police forces.
Yeah.
And nobody's saying anything. because it ain't their kid.
That's true. So, Mr. Elias, before we get out of here, I definitely want to get your opinion on this. I mean, you know, once again, how should we feel about this? Is this, should we even be talking about it? I mean, you know, because like I said before, we have situations where it's a legitimate concern that we need to bring it up and that we have to, you know, once again, bring it to the public eye, because at the end of the day, you know, there was a black man that was shot unarmed. But in this case, he did fire on the police officers first. And so should this even be a topic?
Emotions, for one, I'm kind of familiar with the case because, okay, look, this dude, he just got out of jail for a weapons charge, right?
Yeah.
They said it was a seatbelt violation, but he had tinted windows. And on that day in Illinois, since I live that close to Illinois, it was cold outside. So how in the hell did they see inside that car?
Well, wait a minute now. That's happened to me where, you know, you can see through the windshield. If you're driving towards somebody, you can see. I mean, I had a guy in my car who didn't have his windshield. I said, man, put your seatbelt on. He didn't have it on. And next thing you know, we're driving by a cop, and my windows were dark tint. That guy came right around and came up behind me. So you can see through the front windshield. If a person doesn't have the
five tactical officers on a traffic stop.
I got you. I said that. That's what I don't get.
Five tactical officers on a traffic stop. I mean, he just got out of jail earlier for a gun charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to lose this case.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of, Elias, as you talk about that? It reminds me of, remember that Las Vegas shooter, sniper, who was killing all them people?
Oh, yeah, in a country western, yeah.
At an event. So they didn't even shoot him when they caught up to him.
Yeah.
He was shooting at people. They didn't shoot him. So I don't know. When people say that, it's like, well, but he had a gun. It's like, we got plenty of examples of people who actually shot people that the police didn't run 30 deep on them and just shoot them on sight.
No,
they
took the little boy to go get a cheeseburger.
They took the little boy
to go get a hamburger if he killed them people at church.
Yep, sure did. Crazy.
The guy was listening to a story about the guy that was a police chief. He said, like police chief, he said, he fired on them first, so they're going to lose this one. I was like, yeah, he's... Because they returned fire. They fired and he returned fire. So it's justified homicide. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Stay tuned.
All the stuff leaving you with mixed emotions.
Yeah, that's true. But stay tuned, folks. We'll see. We'll cover it when it happens. All right, we're going to step out and take a break. We'll be right back after this.
When will you see the magic in your madness? When will you realize what is inside you?
This 25. body back shots, body. Give her body back shots, body. Give her body back shots, body. Oh, 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 ah. Back in the way I jump for NYC. Big girl, she carry the best assassin. Steady, be ready, be assassin. Switching my belly, you're like a kite. Something jelly. Eggplant emoji. So train when I slide it. Now she watching me like daddy. I do for you, girl. And I know, and I know, and I know. I still come for you, blood like a riddle. Yeah, give me that blue Colorado. Oh wow, all that is a little. Yeah, life's pretty sweet, can be bizarre. And I only need your outside dress. And if you wanna pull up on my tip custom, but put it wider than the internet. I'm a presidential bureau suffer to you. Goody goody, girl, goody goody, bam bam. I need you now, now. Put me on fire like a lantern. Girl, you taste so divine, and I wonder why you so.
Temptation of falling.
What can I do for you, girl?
Can I do for you?
And I know, and I know, and I know.
I still love you, love like a riddle. Yeah, give me that blue color riddle. Oh, 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 that's just a little. Yeah, life's pretty sweet, can be bitter. Oh, oh, oh.
Welcome back in 347-850-1272. It is the serious side on a beautiful Sunday. I hope the weather is good in your neck of the woods. Of course, I'm Jay Ryle. Want to say good morning to my family, my brothers, and my sister Vanessa. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We are all in our places with bright, smiling faces. How are you, sweetie? All right. She's here, I promise. But maybe she's on mute. Okay, so we'll say good morning to Vanessa when she comes back. My man, smartest brother in the world, the one and only Mr. Jerome Esprit. Man, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. I had to take myself off mute. You said that. I was like, wait a minute. I'll mute. All right, but I'm here. I'm good.
Good morning, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those calls like Pam Jackson and the right thing. It's like, unmute yourself.
Yeah, there it is.
Yell that
out. I didn't have you muted. She sent me a message talking about, I said, you had me muted. No, I did not. Matter of fact, I left the mic on by accident during the break, so stop it. Good morning, sis.
No, I was saying good morning, and
there
I was laughing at you talking about bright, shining faces. Mm-hmm. That I love to hear you say, but
yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. My man, Mr. Delius is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, good morning, good morning to you. And good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Momo V. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Red Davis. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Mary the Music. And Mary the Music, that first song was Mercy, and it's by Elevation Worship Maverick City Music, and it's featuring Chris Brown. And the last song was called Sensational by Chris Brown. It's featuring DeVito and Lovejoy. And good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Mr. Elias, can we say hello to some people in the chat room, if you don't mind?
Vigna Man's in there, and we got Yard Jockey in there.
Yard, what's up, bro? It's nice for you to drop by every now and then and say hello. Want to say what's up to the pastor, what's happening to you. Want to say what's up to Angela. Want to say what's up to Sheila. Sheila. I want to say what's happening to Seth. All these S's are in the house. All these S's are in the house today. Terry, just all these wonderful people. Thank you. I want to say what's up to my sweetie, Real Delia. Looks like she's coming to Texas, and if she's coming to Texas, me and her got to go out and have dinner. So let me know when you get here, sweetie. Loved your company last time, and can't wait to see you again when you get here. The number is 347-850-1272. A couple of stories that we didn't talk about at the beginning of the show that I wanted to mention. I wanted to get some input from you guys on. And let me start off with this one. And Jerome, you may be aware of this. Dungeon family member and organized noise producer Rico Wade has died. His family announced on Saturday, April 13th, he was 52 years old. His death was unexpected, according to a statement his family shared with Billboard, and the family did not disclose his cause of death. The statement reads, "We are deeply saddened by the sudden and unexpected passing of our son, father, husband, and brother Rico Wade. Our hearts are heavy as we mourn the loss of a talented individual who touched the lives of so many. We ask that you respect the legacy of our loved one and our privacy at this time." Your thoughts on that, Mr. Your thoughts on that, Jerome? Rico Wade, man, 52.
And I don't know if everybody's familiar with the Dungeon Family, but you wouldn't think of Outkast and Goody Mob and all of those guys. But, yeah, they put in work, Dungeon Family. Yeah, I didn't hear about that. So I'm caught by surprise, and I have no words. He's young. Well, I mean, and nobody, since they didn't say what happened, you know, I guess if it was a car accident, they would have said that. So, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. They did work.
Yeah, he did. Another death, artist Faith Ringo, well known for her story quilts depicting African-American experiences. She died. She was 93 years old. Her death was confirmed by her assistant, who said Ringo died at home Saturday in Inglewood, New Jersey. She created paintings, sculptures, and performance art and children's books. Her work focused on black life, feminine life, and the crossroads between the two. Matter of fact, one of her first and most famous story quilts is called Who's Afraid of Aunt Jeremiah? It began with her observation of the changing face of a certain pancake brand. Mr. Elias, your thoughts on this great African-American person who's passed away?
Jay.
I'm going to be honest, Jay, I'm not familiar with her work, so.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't respond with it. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, Vanessa, what say you?
They had her quilt on exhibit at Brentwood Baptist Church, where she showed how the slaves were doing the Underground Railroad. And everything on a quilt. It was on exhibit at Brentwood Baptist Church. I am familiar with our work. It was interesting to see how white people were hiding black people to get to the underground, to get on through the path. He had a blanket made like that. Jerome, you would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You would have loved it.
Yeah, it's great.
That's great.
African American artists just mourn the loss, just losing people left and right. Be instant in season and out of season. That's all I have to say to you. All right, let's see. Can we tackle this last one in about 10 minutes? Well, no, we're gonna take 5 minutes. Let's see what happens.
Online radio at its best.
We will make America great again.
8 years ago, Donald Trump, the real estate mogul turned reality TV star turned presidential candidate, was about to deliver a titanic political upset. It was the fall of 2016, and despite trailing in the polls to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Republican nominee was all confidence.
When we win on November 8th, we are going to Washington, D.C., and we will drain the swamp.
But a month before Election Day, his campaign was sent reeling.
Whoa!
When the Washington Post published this more than 10-year-old videotape.
I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the... I can do anything.
The story the political world has been buzzing about all afternoon, making vulgar comments about women.
In full damage control mode, another lurking scandal suddenly seemed more ominous. For several months, Stephanie Clifford, an adult film actress who goes by the name Stormy Daniels, had been trying, unsuccessfully, to sell her story of a one-time, decade-old sexual liaison with Donald Trump. But just a few weeks after the Access Hollywood tape came out, Trump's lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, used a shell company to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000 of Cohen's own money to stay quiet.
I, Donald John Trump.
Then, when Trump became president, he repaid Michael Cohen with a series of checks that were categorized as legal fees.
The details of those transactions, what their purpose was, who knew about them, and how all the checks and invoices and ledgers were recorded will be at the center of Trump's trial.
Allegations that someone lied again and again to protect their interests and evade the laws to which we are all held accountable.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, a Democrat, has charged Donald Trump with 34 counts of fabricating financial records to conceal, quote, damaging information from the voting public during the 2016 presidential election.
That trial's coming up tomorrow. We're going to spend about, we're going to give this guy 3 minutes, man. You know, I'm proud of us. At the end of the day, you know, we haven't talked about him that much today. So let's take a few minutes to because we have a lot of comments that have come in based on our OJ segment. So I want to try to get, and a lot of people with well wishes to Vanessa, and I want to read those live too. So real quick, what do you expect to happen tomorrow, Vanessa?
Nothing. I don't expect anything on the first day. I just expect for him to be sitting there looking stupid because he's already announcing that he's going to be muzzled, that he's going to be gagged, and that he can't say anything. So I don't expect anything the first day, but by the second and third day, he's going to start acting stupid and making facial expressions. So that's what I'm going to be looking at.
Okay. What about you, Jerome, real quick, man? What do you expect tomorrow?
Yeah, I expect Bob Saget to come out of retirement and host a program of Home's Funniest Courthouse Videos with that fool. That's what I expect to happen.
Oh, the man who gets the first and last word. Mr. Elias, man, what do you expect to happen tomorrow?
Like, I'm like Vanessa, I don't expect nothing tomorrow. He's going to sit there with that dumb look on his face like he always does. And then that's exactly what I think.
All right. Thank you, folks. Quick break. We'll be right back.
With one round to go at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, American Scottie Scheffler holds a narrow one-stroke lead. The battle for the famed green jacket is set to conclude today. We get more from Steve Futterman.
Scottie Scheffler is just 18 holes away from solidifying his position as the world's number one golfer. Scheffler leads the Masters after three rounds by one stroke over fellow American Colin Morikawa, who had the second best round of the day, 3 under par. In third place, two strokes back, is Max Homa. Scheffler has had to divide his attention this week. His wife Meredith is in her 8th month of pregnancy in Dallas. Even on the verge of winning, Scheffler says when the call comes, he's leaving.
Yeah, I definitely have a way to get home pretty quickly. And yes, I'll be available to go home whenever I need to.
Scheffler is trying to win his second Masters. He won his first green jacket 2 years ago. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Augusta, Georgia.
Australian police have identified the man who fatally stabbed 6 and wounded several others at a crowded Sydney shopping mall yesterday. 40-year-old Joel Cauchy was shot and killed by a police officer during the attack. Authorities are saying the suspect suffered from mental health issues. Investigators are not treating the attack as terror-related. Officials are praising the female police officer who stopped the attacker and bystanders who they say ran toward danger to confront the man. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foam, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, folks, it's time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room and from social media sites that we monitor throughout the course of the show. Mr. Elias, man, what do you have?
Jackie says, good Sunday morning and prayers for Vanessa and her husband, all who care for her after surgery. And then Corvina Man says, there are a lot of black people who are anti-black American, especially immigrant blacks.
Oh, wow, good stuff. All right, I have a lot. Let me see, can I get them in here? Pastor Steve says, peace and blessings, family. Miss Vanessa, like Jay said, we are family. I spend more time with my radio family than I do with some of the people that by title are my actual family. Miss Vanessa, Luke 7 says, your faith has saved you. Go in. Matthew 9 says, let it be done for you according to your faith. You are my wife. It says, you are my wife. You are in my wife and I's prayers, and I fully expect to hear your beautiful voice on Sunday. Thank you, Pastor. Felicia, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Now, Kakalaki. I usually don't comment on podcasts, but I've been listening to this PC for the past 3 years, and Jay is right. I consider y'all fam, so we are praying for you, sister. Terry, San Antonio, praying for Miss Vanessa. Get well soon. Mr., my new favorite person from Texas, Arcana. Mr. Trump tried but failed to outrun the long arm of the law. He will be wearing a pinstripe suit soon. God bless America and get well soon, Miss Vanessa. Brandy, Houston, Texas, praying for you, fam. God got you. Smitty Jones, I like that name, from Tempe, Arizona. One of the realest shows out here. Love you guys and praying for you, Miss Vanessa. Christina, Chicago. I'm totally offended. Ooh, that's not right. Let's see. Here's one. Here we go. Sheila from Columbia, South Carolina, representing Don Staley and the NCAA champs, SCGWB. Okay. Anyone voting for Trump should have their black card revoked. I agree. Man, I can't get all these in. I can't get them all in. Let me read them all. Okay, forget it. Angela, first off, praying for Miss Vanessa. I watched the OJ trial live, and when the not guilty verdict was read, I was stunned. But today is the reason why I love this show. Mr. Jerome has given me some information that I didn't know existed, even though I still think that he did it. I have to admit, now I have my doubts. Cynthia from New York says, please provide me with the name of the Christian song that was played earlier. It had me in tears. I love the Lord with all my heart. Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia, for that. Let me see. Seth, two more. Seth from L.A., California, we have to stop villainizing those who have different opinions than ours. Let me read one more. Selena from Portland, Oregon, the Casey Anthony case is a perfect example of a person who is hated by the public. The evidence is overwhelming, but she walked away. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. If people think you got away with a murder, people will continue to hate you. All right, we have 2 minutes. Jerome, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Give me your final thoughts.
All right, so since I missed the very first part of the show, I don't know what you guys are talking about with Vanessa, but blessings, and you guys are always in my prayer, so I just want to use my time to say that. Blessings
okay,
and prayers to Vanessa and the family, like always.
Absolutely,
that's all.
Brother. We appreciate
yep.
you. Hey, are we sticking around in 2 minutes? Because you said we'd be here this
yep,
week.
Yep, I got you.
All right, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we talk about
right.
OJ.
Uh-oh.
Go
all
ahead.
Right. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. All right, Miss Elias, man, you got 90 seconds, man, your final thoughts.
Highlighted the name of the song was Mercy, Elevation, Worship, Maverick City Music, and it was featuring Chris Brown. That was the name of the song.
Appreciate you telling that information. All right. Hey, look, my final thoughts are we appreciate you. We love you. Be safe when you navigate. And like the young man that told Vanessa on that cruise, you know, you just have to keep your head on the swivel if you look like us. And I think most people who listen to this show look like us. So that's all I'm going to say to you because it is time to go because we know what's coming up next. So, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
For the serious side of the J Show.
Folks, it's been a pleasure to serve you as always. So for Vanessa, for my main man, Jerome Espria, for Mr. Elias, I'm Jay Rossi, and have a wonderful work week. Remember, If it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the Jay Rock Show. Coming up next, on a need-to-know basis with my brother, the one and only from the Jerome Esprit Dam. Coming up next, stay right here.
Oh, you got him.
Four, three, two, one.
The First Lady dazzles on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
Pledge allegiance
to
the flag of the United States of America.
Folks, it's been a minute, but it's back by popular
yes,
demand. Only need to know basis with my main man, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Now, I will say this before I sign off. I will be listening. And I reserve the right to pop back in if you say something crazy about me. So, Mr. Jerome.
Right. You know, I look forward to you popping. I just want to know that.
Maybe I shouldn't leave. All right, Mr. Jerome.
Mainly because I've been threatening to play black or white every now and then. So I got some stories at the end of the show that we're going to play black or white with. If LES is
damn.
Down. And none of them features OJ.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, fellas, y'all got it.
Well, wait a minute. But maybe a Kardashian, but that's another story. But we'll go.
Hey, that's a connection. That's a connection because people before the Big Booty Sisters, there was an attorney named Kardashian that was on the OJ trial.
Robert Kardashian, right?
There you go. That's right.
I was going to say, that's what most people's argument is against OJ, is saying that Robert Kardashian was there and they were looking kind of crazy at the table when he won, that they were shocked that he won. And my response to that was, of course he was shocked. He was black. Like, you shocked that any black man wins. I would have been shocked, too, if I wasn't so happy that he did that. You know?
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
Jay, I want to remind you, you have to remember, that was not too long after Rodney King, too.
Rodney King, absolutely, absolutely. And I think they played a role in it, too. Yeah, I do. I think so.
You know what? I'm going to let you sign off so I can talk about you, because I don't know what kind of role you're going to say.
No, I'll say this. You know, everybody was, when people saw what happened to Rodney King, I mean, I was ready to fight the first black, white folk I saw. And I just think that, you know, that was right after Rodney King. You can't sit here and portray the L.A. police officers as being these model citizens when they beat the crap out of a brother on a traffic stop. So I just think that, you know, that was just, you know, that was in the air. You brought it up, but you're right. It was during that time. You're absolutely correct about that.
Remember, just so that the cops had a all-white jury, they moved it out to Simi Valley. Where they beat him, they wouldn't get tried. They moved it out to the white suburbs to make sure that they had a white jury so that it can get them off.
You're right about that. I forgot about that. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what happens is that we miss the details on how things are skewed against us when it really comes down to, like, history, that those details are important, you know, when we start telling history backwards, you know.
Yep. You're right about that.
So, because all of those cases seem real simple. Like, they beat up Rodney. He must have been doing something because he was doing 110 miles in a Hyundai. Like, whatever car he was driving. Those cars didn't even go that fast.
I don't think they went that fast back then.
sorry about that. I'm getting sidetracked. All right. All right. Hey, what's going on, Elias? I haven't heard from him in a minute. What you up to? Does he have his on mute?
Good, bro. I'm good.
You good? All right. Just checking on you. I'll start with some news. I know we've been missing doing the show for a minute, so I'll just go through some top news stories before we get into the bulk of the conversation. So more than 100 U.S. deaths was linked to Ozempic. A similar weight loss drug also had that same problem. It was a 28-year-old who died from an intestinal mass and a pregnant woman who also died. Yeah, so those cases have been recorded by the FDA, a monitoring system used to track safety in medicines. And, you know, here's the thing. People are using Ozempic to lose weight, but that wasn't what it was created for. So now all of these side effects are starting to kick up because more people are using it. But they said there's more than 100 deaths. And I think, you know, I know Oprah I think she would just drop from Weight Watchers because she was saying, oh, I'm eating all these healthy dinners, and she was using Ozempic to lose her weight. So here we go. I won't talk about Oprah so early in the show. All right, so New Yorkers are told to New Yorkers are told to stay away from wildlife because they can catch the bird flu. Now, most people think you can get the bird flu from eating, you know, chicken eating some kind of bird, but several animals in New York City tested positive, like geese and falcons and hawks, living in Manhattan parks and green spaces have tested positive for the virus, is what officials say, and they're warning cases could be more widespread. And, you know, because we are having all sorts of things are happening on this planet. And, by the way, I didn't go to the and talk about the eclipse, but I actually – we were in totality, so it was dark here during an eclipse. So the street lights came on. Like, it was dark. So during the eclipse, I know, Elias, you said you didn't – oh, you guys didn't see it or didn't observe it, right?
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. Here's the thing about – yeah, go ahead.
I'm in Indiana, so, you know, they were going, everybody's, well, let's go to Indianapolis. I'm like, for what?
So, right, because I was thinking that you would probably be able to see, like, partial eclipse there. So what people don't know, because folks don't, you know, when you're not indigenous to any place or have any kind of history and stuff like that, most native folks, and I didn't ask the folks that I know, but, you know, everybody's told to stay indoors. And I remember posting on social media that if the birds leave, if birds are gone, you probably need to go too. Like, wherever, when you don't see no wildlife around, you probably need to bounce. Like, I think every movie starts this way, every archetype of every movie. You know, when aliens come, white folks jump up and be like, oh, let's greet them, and they're the first ones to die. So whenever you see that happen, do not run towards it. Like, that's just something that hides in plain sight to us. But, yeah, so during that time, you know, the vibration of the earth changes. You can see things in the sky that normally you can't see. There's not more radiation, but there's probably more particles that are visible that affects us from that visual light spectrum that happens. So there's a DNA change. So all indigenous people kind of understand that during eclipses you should probably pray. Like, and I mean meditate, not religiously pray. But you need to know that you're going to undergo a change. So researchers on the last eclipse, it was an eclipse, I think, in the 70s, that they said that they sampled mental health patients to check what kind of chemicals were changing in their body. So they took a blood sample before the eclipse, during it, and after. And they found out that there were changes in their bodies during the eclipse. So I just want to say that for everybody who ran outside and looked at the eclipse.
Wow.
although I did run outside for a second, but the trick is that all of those particles are passing through our body and through the earth anyway. Rather you are – that's why people can get skin cancer at night, because those particles, those rays, is actually passing through our body. So there was a news story I did a while ago that it was recommended that people put on sunscreen at night because of that, if you're susceptible to ultraviolet rays and all of that other stuff. So I'm just going to say that about the eclipse. Nothing to be afraid of, but I did say that if you see something during the eclipse, don't get scared and think that God is coming. Just know that it's always been there and you just couldn't see it anyway. So don't worry. He'll be fine. All right. So in the Grand Canyon, for those people who are in California, Nevada, Utah, and parts of Mexico, the pipes at the Grand Canyon Dam that release water from Lake Powell to Lake Mead are too damaged to function, is what officials are saying. So there will be no spring release of water, threatening the water supply to Lake Mead, which is, you know, which is the reservoir that supplies drinking water and agricultural water to more than 30 million people in California, Nevada, Utah, and parts of Mexico. So the world is going to look a little weird during this particular summer, especially if drought season comes and they're not releasing water, because they're saying the pipes are too damaged to function. So, hey, I know we're not covering this stuff in the news, so if you are wondering what this part of our show is, we're giving you news that you can use. Shout out to my girl Lucy Sanchez Abreu. But we're giving you news that you're not getting in general in the mainstream media. I shouldn't say that because that sounds like Fox, but just general news. We're just going to cover some of the stories that you guys are not really getting. It's not that we don't know them, so if you want to send your comments into Jay or something, he'll talk about them on his show, but we're not talking about it here. Now, Walmart shoppers who bought bags of citrus fruits or packs of meat in recent years have been urged to check they are eligible for a slice of this $45 million settlement. So the deadline for those to file claims as a part of this class action suit is fast approaching. It is June 5th, 2024. Walmart is accused of overcharging customers and its machines inflating the product weight of meats and seafood. I'm sorry. Shoppers who bought the items between October 2018 and January of this year could be in line to as much as $5,500. You don't need a receipt. Just go to their website, and they will actually show you your receipts if you use a credit card, and they will tell you. So you can get up to $500 from Walmart. Who thought the cheapest place, who people thought was the cheapest place, wasn't milking you for money? But apparently they were. Now, there's a warning for shrimp and lobster and other seafoods. They contain dangerous levels of cancer-causing forever chemicals, right? So that's chemicals from plastics and all this other stuff that's in the water. Researchers in New Hampshire found that shrimp and lobster contain dangerously high levels of toxic PFAS, whatever those are, but they're called forever chemicals. So Dartmouth College did the research, and they tested several types of seafood bought from various sites in New Hampshire. So whether you're eating, you know, shrimp, crab, lobster, catfish, anything that's bottom feeders, you're probably going to have some of those chemicals in you. So I'm not trying to curb your eating habits, but some of this stuff is not good for you. I didn't do the story. Go to Dartmouth for their research. Now, dozens of angry Israeli settlers stormed into Palestine, into a village in the Israeli-occupied West Bank on Friday, shooting and setting houses on fire, houses and cars on fire. Now, that rampage killed a Palestinian man and wounded about 25 others, is what the Palestinian health officials said. The violence was the latest escalation in the West Bank that accompanied that war in Gaza. And that's a one-way war, so I just want to kind of say that. We're not reading the news feeds for what anybody else is projecting to you. We're just kind of giving you the facts here. An Israeli's rights group said that the settlers were searching for a 14-year-old missing boy from their settlement. So they killed somebody and wounded 25 others and burnt houses and cars because they said somebody is missing. Here we go. So I won't go on on that part. I know we talked about that before, but we won't go through that. So a Canadian DNA lab admits that it routinely sent out inaccurate results that destroyed multiple families after their biological dads were wrongly told that the children were not theirs. So Vanguard Acumetrics sold and delivered home tests to check the identity of the baby's father over a span of a decade through this online store. They charged up to $1,000. But the families who used the test have now spoken out about receiving false results. So the owner of Vanguard, the Acumetrics, this guy Harvey Tettenbaum, 91, was caught on camera by an undercover reporter from the Canadian broadcast company, this CBC, and admitted that he knew the tests were never accurate. He listed the times where the test had been wrong, saying that the test of a white guy and a baby that came out black, the white guy was saying, what's going on here? But he knew that the tests were wrong anyway.
Ooh.
I know. See, this... Although we're laughing, I was going to say, this is kind of sad across the board. So people who probably got tests saying that they weren't the baby's father probably got them back saying that they were, and the people who were got them back saying that they weren't. And they paid $1,000.
I would hope that Maury Povich never used these people.
I think they all probably did. I know one of them used some Canadian lab, and that's where it came from. It was a company in Canada. But he is 91, walking around here wealthy, and they're not going to even prosecute him. They just pretty much was like, oh, my bad. Can you imagine? It is just like knowing there's a show called Adam Ruins Everything. It might be canceled, but you can find it online. But it talks about the fact that people have been faking DNA, FBI fingerprints for years. So you know how they say, oh, we saw your fingerprints on the scene. It doesn't mean it was yours. No fingerprint is the same, but they can be similar. So they were saying that for years they knew that fingerprint analysis was not even accurate. And they were just like, oh, you did it. So here we go. Guess who gets caught up in that trap more than anybody else? Yeah. That's a mess. So California is poised to have a major earthquake this year, and it says a new study tracking the San Andreas Fault activity. The Parksville section of the San Andreas Fault, located in central California, gives off a distinct sound in the 6 weeks leading up to an earthquake in 2004. So they're saying that it's making noise now. They said it's not doing as many of them now, though it could mean the fault section is not due for one of its quakes like right now, but it happens every 22 years. So we're about in that time frame, or it could mean the next quake will fall on another part of the Parkville section. But they know every 22 years something happens. So, and plus, again, we had a quake. I don't know if you heard about that before.
I did.
The eclipse. Yeah. So our quake happened, and again, when an eclipse comes, it changes the vibration of the earth. And so technically we don't know what it shook up, so we have to be careful for the next couple of weeks after an eclipse what kind of things start happening, like more earthquakes or, tsunamis or whatever. So, yeah, we're in that grace period.
Any of the quakes?
Oh, were any other quakes? Yeah, there was a quake.
When it hit you guys.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I actually did. And we weren't near the epicenter. So I'm in New York State, and that happened in New Jersey, the center, the epicenter. And they said it was less than a mile up, so it wasn't as bad. But we felt it all the way here, all the way to Maine, from Jersey to Maine. And on the East Coast, we have a lot of cracks because of the Appalachians, because of the mountains. So there's a lot of underground cracks and caverns. But we don't have as many fault lines. So when there's a quake, you can feel it from, North Carolina to Chicago. Like those quake lines are not broken up like they are on the West Coast. So the earth can move in a small area and the other parts won't move. But here, it goes a really long distance when we get earthquakes. But we don't have – our fault lines are pretty deep. And there's an underground ocean under the Midwest, if nobody knew that. Like, that whole area sits over. And I can't think of the name of it. Huh? Did you know that?
Actually, I did not know – I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name of it. But, yeah, the whole Midwest sits over an underground ocean. So, don't get scared, anybody.
Wow.
It's miles down. Like, it's about, I think, about I think it's about 15 miles down, but there's an ocean under there, and it has a name. So, yeah, so we don't have as many quakes, but at the same time, it was. I thought we were going through one of those flower sifters. It just kind of shook from side to side, and I kind of looked around and saw plants. Because, you know, normally you think a truck passed by or something and then shook a building. But once I saw the plants moving, I knew. I was like, okay, that was different than just a regular, you know, automobile passing by.
Because when I saw what happened to people in New Jersey, how the houses shifted, I was like, oh, my God, that was a nice one.
Yeah.
Because they said some of the houses were touching.
Were they? Yeah, I didn't see any of the footage from what happened down there. So I can't remember, but I think it was a 4.8. Go ahead.
It shook so bad that it moved the houses and the roofs were touching.
Man. Yeah, I know, you know, we received calls from people in New York City saying how bad they felt it, you know, but a lot of those buildings, since New York City is pretty much anchored to the bedrock, some of those buildings are, because of the water, you know, that whole area is sediment. And so when they get an earthquake, those buildings usually adjust pretty well, you know, in New York City, because it's not built on really solid ground anyway. A lot of those buildings, you know, go all the way down to the bedrock. Just like, you know, World Trade and all of those guys, they actually find the bottom bedrock to anchor those buildings to. So, yeah, I didn't see that, though. That had to be interesting to watch because, you know, that's normally San Francisco and all those guys when you're like, there's going to be problems if they have an earthquake. You know, I was in San Francisco last year, and I was thinking about that while I was out there. I was like, man, I can see why this, you know, all that hilly mountain, you know, area in you know, Northern California, like they are a little bit more stable, but I can see how that's going to be devastating because those buildings are so close together, you know, if they have anything.
Sure.
Now,
that is for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Now, a new study suggests that good-looking lawyers are more likely to win their cases and receive favorable rulings from judges. Now, part of this study, researchers from the University of Illinois gathered data. I know, right? Can you imagine? You'd be like, looking for an attorney and be like, I don't think so, right? Like, you need them to be a
ugly. Yeah, he's ugly. He ain't gonna win.
Yeah, he's not gonna win. So they said they gathered data on more than 1,000 U.S. cases, found pictures and courtroom video of attorneys involved, and then asked a group of participants to rate the attorneys on their level of attractiveness. So the analysis revealed that lawyers perceived as more attractive had enjoyed a consistently higher success rate and more than likely to win cases outright. So the findings were consistent regardless of race, gender, of both judges and attorneys. However, attractive female lawyers appeared to have received a slightly greater advantage, especially when arguing for male judges.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this program and you think that LES and I seem surprised, we're just playing. Like, we know better. Yeah. So they probably were a little bit more favored because they looked a little bit better than everybody else. I guess that's that thing about, you know, dress for success. Isn't that where that comes from? I'm sure it didn't.
That's for sure.
We'll take that into consideration. Mm. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that companies cannot be sued for withholding bad news. The Supreme Court on Friday said that shareholders cannot sue companies for fraud if they fail to disclose negative trends about their company and bottom line, or their company's bottom line. So the federal law prevents the use of manipulative practices in purchasing or the sale of securities. Now, this includes untrue statements or omission of material facts to deceive investors. But if the shareholders suspect the company of engaging in these practices, they can sue under the private right of action, but the investors must show material misrepresentation or omission to win the suit. So if they're lying to you after you bought your stock or shares, you can't sue them. But they can't lie to you before you bought them. Yeah, there's something wrong with, and that was the Supreme Court, and they unanimously ruled on that. You know,
this is
I,
what gets me about that. I keep telling Jay about that. Again, about the Immunity Act. Man, I would, I could see them passing that for Trump. I could see that happening.
Yeah,
it scares me, man.
You know, here's what my argument would be in court, and I wish Kathleen was on today. But here, if I was an attorney prosecuting Trump, and I was, you know, talking to the Supreme Court, I would say to them, you know, as soon as you affirm immunity for Trump, Biden can actually call off elections and remain president. Think about that for a second, right? You are trying to give him immunity, so Biden can do anything he wants. He can send SEAL Team 6 out, and he can pull Trump's Secret Service protection. He can do anything he wants. So you're telling me that you're going to risk a Democrat having immunity just to try to give that fool immunity? That would not make sense.
The deal with that, Jerome, is I think they'll wait until after the election, and if Trump wins it, they'll give it to him. I think that it will happen. I hate to say
no,
that, but that's...
No, see, but they won't wait because the part of the immunity that he's arguing is so that he doesn't go and get convicted in these other cases. So if they rule that he's immune, then it's going to hinder the civil trial that's starting Monday, the criminal trial. No, I'm sorry, that's the criminal trial that's coming on Monday, and those other civil trials, right? So he has 34 counts that he has to worry about. And he's trying to claim presidential immunity from prosecution. So if they say that, the can of worms that it will be opening up is, while you're president, whatever you do they can't say it's admissible. It's inadmissible. They can just say that you can't prosecute him. But the stuff that Trump did with, you know, his companies, that happened before he was president, so they can prosecute him. He's just trying to delay it so statute of limitations can run out on the civil. But the criminal stuff, he's trying to say that with the Stormy Daniels stuff, that you can't prosecute me because the stuff that I said was while I was president. Not the crime. The crime didn't happen while he was president.
Though.
Huh?
But I'm saying he wasn't president when he paid him. When he paid Michael Cohen, he was still a candidate?
Yes, he was a candidate. So I guess the argument would be you can't prosecute me for anything that I did while I was president, which means he paid her off a little bit later. So when he paid Michael Cohen back, he was actually president because he went into the White House when he wrote that check to Michael Cohen. So let's just say that part was inadmissible. He would still go to jail because he still did. And they would bring in somebody like, what is the woman's name? Karen McDougal. Right? Because she's the one who said that she was pregnant and had an abortion and he paid her off. Like, that woman is another person who's going to testify against him, too. So it ain't like he hasn't, I mean, and we all know that Melania is a mail-ordered bride, too. You know what I mean? And so the issue is, I can say alleged, but we've seen those nude pictures online. You can Google them. That she really just kind of was out the gate. She came from another country. He brought her in, and you can't prop her up as something that she's not. We know that, you know, he spent a lot of time in the Playboy Mansion and with Jeffrey Epstein. So the evidence kind of tells us that he was.
Strange that this cat is talking about. She's talking about. But all his wives except for one were immigrants. That's what I understand.
And I want to say that.
All immigrants are destroying our country. Well, why do you keep bringing them over here then? That would be my question. If he said that, if I was in a debate with him, I'd be like, then why do you keep bringing them over here? Because Lord knows you married two of them.
Right.
Your wives were immigrants. You're still married to an immigrant. So what are you talking about?
Right. Now, in the spirit of Jay, I'm going to tell you that he denies the relationship with the Playboy woman, and he denies he's denying officially all of his relationships outside of that. But his wives, I think he only had one American wife, didn't he? What was her name? It's her first, her daughter that they don't really talk about, like the one that's kind of out. What is her name?
He's married Ivanka, Melania, and what was her name? My God.
See, we can't even remember anybody who does not have a Russian-ish type name or Slavic kind of name.
Three wives' names.
Oh, my gosh, I can't remember her name. All right, so it'll probably hit me at some point.
Marla.
Yeah.
Marla Maples.
Marla Maples, yes. So, yeah, so everybody else was foreign. I'm not saying you can't marry somebody foreign. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying his relationship to those areas with Russia, with all of those countries in that region has something to do with where his head is at. And I mean that like his mind. Like, I just want to put that, make real clear. I know, that was a slip. I didn't mean that. All right. So,
this is a little slip.
Yeah, exactly. It must have came from someplace. So on that note, you know, a former Trump aide says that Melania was humiliated by the Stephanie Clifford or Stormy Daniels affair allegations and revealed that Melania is going to push Donald Trump to take the witness stand. And I'm thinking, this is a news story, mind you, right? She will push him to take the stand and defend himself. I'm like, you can't defend yourself when you were sleeping on that woman when she was pregnant. That's what the woman is claiming. So if you were having an affair, you're going to really go on the stand and challenge that? But one of the former aides is saying Melania is going to push him to do it. And if we haven't said this before, Donald Trump will go on trial on Monday for felony charges related to that hush money scheme to keep Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, silent during his presidency. The lawyers have been filing a series of motions to seek a delay, but he lost every attempt to delay this particular trial because he faces 34 felony counts bought by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. And this one, it literally can send him to jail. I'm not saying it's going to, but it could. So, a Hawaii liquor commissioner, 54, resigned after using ID to barge into a nightclub before threatening to close them down because they wouldn't serve her. They refused to serve her because she was drunk. She is the commissioner, the liquor commissioner, and she forced them to give her alcohol when she's drunk. And she said, if you don't, I'm going to close you down. So the Lisa Martin, who is the vice chairwoman of the Honolulu Liquor Commission, stepped down on Monday after the bar staff called the police when she refused to leave. Now, I don't know. But being a liquor commissioner when you're alcoholic doesn't seem like that's. I know you can't ask people if they're alcoholics when you interview them, but you would think somebody would have caught that someplace. You know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Now, a California woman died of using a hemorrhoid cream that she bought on Facebook. It was laced with a toxic metal and shut down her organs. So the patient lived in Sacramento, California, had purchased the treatment on Facebook, which was mailed to her to the U.S. from Vietnam. Now, I don't want to be the one to tell you what Dr. Sebi said about this. Whenever you are getting herbs or anything, do not get them from places who are using, you know, fertilizer and chemicals that is not regulated. If you're going to get herbs and stuff, go to South America, go to the Caribbean. They don't have Monsanto type of, and I don't mean to slander Monsanto. I don't know them like that. But they don't have the companies that are genetically altering chemicals in their soil. So, hey,
wow.
You have to do anything, especially holistic medicine, go get, you know, Jamaican sarsaparilla, go to Belize and get soursop, go down South America. But you know, when the nuclear plant went down in Japan, it contaminated their soil. So if you're getting stuff that's coming out of those regions, it could possibly be contaminated. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying it's possible. Yes. Now, President Joe Biden canceled another $7.4 billion in student loans. So now he has erased $153 billion for, I think it's 4.3 million Americans. So the White House has announced that it is wiping out another $7.4 billion in student loans for about 277,000 borrowers. I don't know why I can't say that word, bringing the total canceled by the Biden administration to $153 billion. So they're rolling out the plan. They said it's going to impact about 30 million borrowers. And after, you know, it was blocked by the Supreme Court last year. Now he's actually redone it. And you'll receive information in your emails informing you if your debt has been forgiven. So the Biden administration, when people say that they don't, you know, I think Vanessa said this, or Jay.
I don't understand, Jerome. Because if you look, he's given more money to HBCUs than any other president.
Yeah.
President. And they won HBCU in South Carolina, and they said, he hasn't done anything for us. What has he done for us? And I'm looking at, and I'm yelling at the screen, tell him how much money he's given to HBCUs like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Francis, he gave $7 billion. He's given more than anybody.
Yeah. Even the infrastructure money that he's put through, Biden is probably, regardless, he's probably one of the most successfully legislative presidents that we've had, and he's only been there 4 years. That's how much work that they've done. The Democrats just don't do a good job in making people feel good. They're not a ceremony-heavy party. So when Obama was doing all of his stuff, they didn't take a victory lap and raise flags and say, let's have a parade because everybody now has health care. They didn't do that. Biden's administration does not do a good job of doing media, like when they do something big. They just do it and think they can keep going. You know, I had a meeting with the president of this company earlier in the week, and he said that, I'm not going to say the name of it, but he said that they do a lot of things on the corporate giving side, and he said it's kind of our culture to make sure that the things get done and not take credit for it. He said, but when they started surveying, they realized that people were like, oh, they ain't never do nothing in the community. He's like, that same thing is happening. And I just told him that there's a different way to go about it. And so the Biden administration has a problem. You just can't tell people that you did something when it's an election year. So when I do news, again, I'll tell you some things that's going on that's not in mainstream media, because the way media news work is they go for ratings. So they're only going to tell you the sensational stuff. They won't tell you the job. You know, they'll tell you the job numbers went down and unemployment went down. They won't make a big deal unless they go up. And if they go up, then it'll be headline news, and they'll talk about it for 15 minutes. But when it goes down, they're like, oh, the job number went down. You know, they'll tell you when inflation goes up. You know, so even though the economy is a whole lot better than the whole 4 years of Trump, the people keep saying they'll find something. They'll say, hey, but the grocery store prices are up. And Biden, it's like, that's not in his control, right? It's like gas prices. Remember during Bush when gas prices was damn near $5, and they kept saying it will never be under $5 again for the rest of our lives. Remember they said that? Then when Obama came in there, Obama told them, if you guys inflate these gas prices by oil speculating, we are going to send the Justice Department after you. And they didn't do it. So gas prices remained stable. And then when Trump got in, the regulatory people would not look at him, and prices went back up. And nobody seems to remember how bad things were doing. I mean, COVID is taking the highlight of the Trump administration, but they don't remember the deregulation stuff that made prices go up like crazy. So, yeah.
I was arguing with a guy the other night. We were talking, and he was like, man, when Trump was in office, gas prices, we were in the middle of COVID. COVID, that's why
right.
gas prices were so low.
right.
Nobody was flying anywhere.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, they were showing like rivers and streams becoming clean because the factories wasn't putting stuff in their water no more because people were indoors. I think I forgot the Thames or whatever the river is in England. They were like, we got fish in there now. Like their wildlife is coming back into the city because they weren't polluting. So when people get mad at regulations saying that they shouldn't be polluting, they don't realize that deregulation made all of that stuff happen. And then during COVID, they could not work. And so all of that stuff started, you know, self-cleaning. The earth will start to self-clean itself. It'll start to filter. So, yeah, people's memories on something like Trump, I think they just don't, it doesn't click because the first year of their administration, they were floating off Obama's, you know, that goodwill of Obama and all those things that he put in place. And it took about a year to undo some of it. And then, you know, he gives that $1 trillion tax breaks to rich people, right? And then we had COVID.
Listen to a radio show the other day. Guy said, it is amazing that Trump is still he's still doing immigration. Into the show, and I lit into their asses because I said, isn't it amazing that you two dumbasses are talking about something that he had 4 years to fix and he didn't? Two of them, which he had the House and the Senate, but he got enough money passed through. Oh, no, he had better numbers. I said, no, Obama had better numbers than him. He was deporting people left and right. It ain't got nothing to do. I said, but isn't it amazing that you two idiots are still talking about that Trump did this and did that, and he's running on it again in 4 years, the same thing that he claimed that if he got to be president, he would fix? I said, you guys sound dumb.
Yeah. It is funny how racist and crazy his policies were, and then people act as if he did good and did right by people. Like, they literally had camps that they were putting people in coming across the border, taking their kids, keeping them, and then sending the parents back. Now, that sounds like child slavery or something to me. Like, you were taking their kids, and then they couldn't find them. So it was Biden's administration that was under court order to put more effort in finding these kids' parents. Because you deported their parents, but you kept their kids. So we can talk about that, but a part of that is understanding the fact that this country, you know, as far as white folks are concerned, all, you know, European culture across the board is having a negative birth rate. If you want to go check that, go check the census. But according to our last census, that was done during Trump's time, and Trump stopped the census early, by the way, too. Like, by a couple of months, he stopped them from gathering data. But according to that data, that about 2.1 or 2.3 million white folks have died than being born in this country. So if you want to know why the whole abortion fight stuff is kicking up all over the place, it's because the numbers are decreasing and other people can see that coming. So they're starting to get really crazy about some of those things that you just generally overlooked. But, yeah, just go on the government site and pull up census data, and it will show you the disparity that's happening in those areas. But they kept the migrants' kids, but they sent their parents back. You know, it is a way you want to co-opt them and kind of change how they see the world, right? Now, China has increased its sales to Russia of machine tools like microelectronics and other technology that Moscow has turned into used to produce missiles and tanks and aircraft and other weaponry in their war against Ukraine. So top U.S. generals for U.S. forces in Europe warned that Ukraine will be outgunned 10-1 by Russia within a matter of weeks if Congress doesn't approve some kind of spending for ammunition and weapons. But China is now, it's being reported, buying them with all of those weapons. You know, and because Israel took a shot at Iran, the Pentagon is beefing up its presence in that region with the USS Dwight Eisenhower. It has been sent to the Red Sea, and a warning to Tehran to protect American personnel should the violence spill over. And I guess they're saying multiple reports suggest that it's going to spill over. So U.S. officials fear that hundreds of drones and dozens of missiles could be used in retaliation for a strike that Iran had. Well, it was adjacent to an Iran embassy in Damascus in Syria. Israel struck them, and Iran retaliated, and now they're acting like, oh, people are attacking us. You remember that whole saying, don't keep your hands to yourself? Well, I think somebody needs to tell Israel that. Keep your hands to yourself. Yeah. Right, because you know how this goes. Horrible. You can't keep dragging us into war. And I think Netanyahu is about to figure this out, is that the U.S. is not going to start sending troops to defend them when they're going slapping people that's not even bothering them. So
little,
you can,
like the little
you know,
kid that had the big brother that was a big bully, and he used to go and slap people. And the brother finally got tired of him, like, hey, dude, you slammed too many people. You got to fight your own battle here.
Right, right. And sometimes we're supplying weapons. Their F-16s, even their nuclear weapons, came from the U.S. So if you wonder why we are so biased when it comes to Israel, it's because we pretty much propped them up as a state. So at some point, the U.S. is going to have to cut the cord or tell them to leave other people alone. You know, you cannot be a bully and then expect us to come in and give you money and weapons. You know, so we have a little bit leverage in that. You know, I know we talked about the O.J. case a bit, but O.J. cause of death was revealed. He was 76 and succumbed to prostate cancer 2 months after being announced his diagnosis. Now, here's what I predict that is going to piss people off. But I think the Buffalo Bills should put the number 32 patch on their jersey, and the NFL should respect him. He was the first player to rush for 2,000 yards, right? He was found not guilty. So he never was accused of murder, and even his conviction that he had was because somebody stole his stuff. He found him in a hotel, and they convicted him of blocking a hotel room. So the guy couldn't get out. The guy who stole his stuff, he was convicted of holding that guy hostage, which it wasn't a hostage situation because he went to that guy's hotel room who had his stolen stuff. So anyway, OJ, hopefully the Buffalo Bills will honor her and NFL because he was not found, he was not convicted of killing anybody.
Come on, man.
So
that's a white man's sport, bro.
I know.
Dude, I know.
I'm just saying.
If they get that to Colin Kaepernick, what do you think they're gonna do to OJ? OJ was a white man's brother.
And they lost their mind. So I don't know if you know. Remember, OJ Simpson's lawyer, Malcolm LaVerge. He's like his longtime attorney. He said that I hope they get zero, nothing. Talking about Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, they said they hope that he hopes they get nothing from his estate. After dying, he owed them over $100 million, right? Because that's what they want in their judgment. He said, I hope they get nothing. And he said he's going to fight to make sure they get nothing from that man's estate. Because, you know, you can sue somebody's estate if their estate is up. You know, it's like a bankruptcy thing, right? So certain entities can sue your estate if you died with all of these debts. But if your money is in a trust, and OJ's money, Johnny Cochran, those guys were smart, was put in a pension. So that's why OJ, I don't know, I think he was getting something like $15,000 or something a month out of his NFL pension because they moved his money to a pension. So that's why they haven't been able to get a daggone dime from him. But they were smart. So just like suing Trump and trying to figure out where his money is. You can't live above ground and underground at the same time. There's a moral to that story. But, yeah, you, they may not be able to sue his estate for it. The estate will just have the debt, and whoever's executor of the estate will just be like, he don't have no money. So the Malcolm Laverne said that he's going to do everything in his power to make sure they get nada. He should be getting money for it because he didn't kill him. I'm with him. Now, I don't know if you saw the news with Bronny James. He is declared himself for the NBA, but he didn't get an agent so he can go to college. So he's in the transfer portal, and, you know, he has declared himself. So ex-NBA player Byron Scott said that he needs another year in college before he's ready. But he entered the transfer portal and declared for the NBA draft. I don't know what to think about that. Did you see that?
Amazing. Saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to say this about it. He had heart problems or something, so he didn't even play a full year at UCLA. And he can do what he wants to. His daddy's rich, right? So he don't need the money, so he don't have to stay any place in particular. It's like Deion Sanders' son to me. You know, he's doing what's best for his child and not worried about what y'all think about him. So I don't have an opinion on what LeBron James' son should do. I just think that he shouldn't be getting the scrutiny because people seem to believe that being indoctrinated through college is your best way of success. I'm like, I don't think so. His parents are smart. He has attorneys. Like, he's not a dumb kid.
Which many sports besides how many sports besides basketball have to go through, you know, college before you can go to the pros? Baseball, you don't have to go to the pros. You don't have to do it. Tennis, you don't have to do it. Definitely don't have to do it. So why do you have to go through for the sports that black athletes dominate? You got to go through 1 year of college, or hell, in the sense of football, you got to go through a couple years of college.
You know what it was done? You know what that was done for? It was done because they wanted the colleges weren't making money if they were jumping Drake to the NBA. So they did that to stop people from going to the NBA too early. So they put an age limit on there by claiming, oh, they're not mature enough to go. But, you know, LeVar Ball, isn't that their father, right? He put his son into a league that he created, and the NBA immediately squashed that. Because if they start another league outside the NBA is like, no, we're not doing that. So, yeah, those sports is, they have a monopoly, and they need to be broken up. You know, speaking of that, and then knowing the, the UFL has just started their games. The XFL and USFL had combined, and they have a league now that The Rock is one of the investors in. So we're going to see how the NFL takes that. This is their second season, and I'm interested to see how this pans out. But none of those big leagues like competition like that.
Well,
obviously there's enough.
Ice Cube and his lawsuit.
Big three.
He's suing the NBA.
Yeah, because they actually went after some of the players, and they went after some of the sponsors. The NBA does not want the big three to exist, which means they're monopoly. They're just playing basketball. So what's your beef, right? They're using former NBA players. Would say.
I like what he did with Caitlin Clark.
Oh, that $5 million. Yeah,
that would pull a bunch of white folks in.
Yeah. So what I heard was that he would have to change the rules for her being there, which means she shouldn't be there. Because I forgot who the former NBA player said. He said the big three is just below jail ball. Have you ever played the 3-on-3? You cannot mask not being physical in the 3-on-3, right? You can stay outside if there's five people. But three people, they can just isolate you, and the person who you're checking can just score 30 points. She don't have any weight to her. Gene, that, you know what I mean? Like, that is going to be really unfair. Like, you cannot. So, anyway, he would have to change the rules for her. But he's doing that to bring in the crowd and bring in media. And that's a smart business move if you can make it happen. But I don't know if I agree with that, because now you're changing to cater to her. Whereas, again, Maya Moore was dynamic as a player. And the reason she didn't score 50 points a game is because she's a team player. They didn't do that in Connecticut. Stewart is a better player. Won 4 NCAA championships with 4 NCAA MVPs, and that girl who can take some jump shots and score points, she's not better than them. She can't play defense. And you saw
that was proven.
She got locked up.
North Carolina game.
Yeah, because she cannot go right, and so all they did was force her right. So they exposed South Carolina exposed a lot of weaknesses in her game, which probably devalued her. I would go with somebody like Paige Becker or somebody before her. And I don't know if I told you this. I was at the Connecticut Florida Jackson State game for the NCAA tournament. Did I tell you that? I don't remember telling you. Was I on the show then? Do you remember? Yeah, because I went to the Syracuse game. Yeah, I was at the Syracuse-Arizona game. So I saw Connecticut live, and Paige Becker is, you know, I have never seen the Iowa woman on there, but Paige Becker is a great Gino Armiella was right. Paige Becker is a great player.
For her,
so,
man.
Yeah, she has a good
lot of respect for Paige Becker.
Yeah, so do I. You know, one thing I forget about. What's that? Say it again. I didn't hear you. You went out.
What you said when she got the ESPY Award?
Oh, I did hear what she said, that they should thank black women, that they don't get enough credit.
Yep.
Yeah. I wish I had that.
She's over here, man. Yeah. I got a lot of respect for her.
Yeah. I wish I had that clip, because I would play that clip of her. Because there are some people, you know, I know when some people hear the show and we talk, you know, say things about, you know, white folks or European, we're talking about the culture generally. We're not talking about individuals. Because everybody has to save their own soul. And there are good people on this planet. We're just spiritual beings driving these biomechanical bodies. And, you know, there are good people in the world. But that culture sucks. That culture to want to put yourself ahead of everyone else. That culture of wanting people to respect you when you're not being respectable to anybody else. You cannot commit genocide and then say, I'm a victim, and we got to make sure this never happens again. You can't do stuff like that and want empathy, right? Like, so either, A, you're going to be a bully, just be a bully. We know who you are. But you can't play the fence like that. But Paige Becker, from the clip that I saw of her at the ESPYs, I have a lot of respect for her. A lot of respect for her. Like, she knows, right? Like, so, you know. Yeah. You know, I want to say that one of the stories I forgot was the Biden administration last week said it would limit what banks can charge for late credit card payments, and they were probe whether the private equity industry is making health care costs more for Americans, and they have their latest crackdown on high consumer costs. So one of the other things that we're not talking about is that the Consumer Financial Bureau, the director, said the limit on credit card late fees will save American families $10 billion annually, or an average of $220 per year for the 45 million credit card holders. They're going to put a cap on it. So they said the administration will finalize a rule that slashes credit card fees from an average of $31 to $8. You know, in mine, it's like $45 to be late. So that's going to be $8, so I might be late next time.
I just want to... I'm never late. I'm usually early because I like my credit score.
I am usually early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm always early on mine. So I wanted to do that. You know, and since we're running up against the clock, we cannot play black or white, but I had a gabillion stories, and I'm going to run as many of them as I can. A married woman, 45, was caught naked in the car with a teenage boy parked at a dead-end road, and that was in Nebraska. There was a married teacher, 37, had sex with her student after being caught in the back of a car at a nature preserve. Then there was a nurse who had sex with a Great Dane. And these are all not black or white, by the way. We could have did that really quick. A Florida woman, 23, posed as a schoolgirl to rape five boys from 12 to 15. And she went to court, a Florida woman. She's 23.
Oh my God.
She was pretending to be a 14-year-old to molest teenage boys. And she was hit with charge. She was caught, right? And Angie Harmon from – oh, did we run out? We're running against it. But Angie Harmon from Law & Order.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about this. I'll leave this for the next show. But her dog bit an Instacart driver, and the driver shot and killed the dog. And so she's complaining about her dog being shot.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't complaining when the dog bit somebody. So anyway, we'll talk about that.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to run through those, but all of those disgusting stories is like stuff that we don't get in the news, and I made sure I jotted them down. So we're going to talk about that. I'll still do those stories when we do the next show. But we'll talk about it. All right, but we still have to play Black or White. I did have some stories for that. We didn't even use them.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for entertaining me, young fella. That was my bad.
Nah, man. Thank you for the news, brother.
Oh, anytime. Okay. I was going to say, when it comes to be a minute, though, if you just throw the bet on, at least I'll have a sense. Because I looked at my clock, and it was late. So I'm like, oh, I'm real late. But if you play the bet or something, I'll know it's time to go. We'll get a wind down.
All right.
What'd you say?
All right. I said I'll play the bet next time.
Okay, cool. I was going to call you last week, and I can't remember why.
Right.
But when I remember, I'll give you a buzz.
Okay.
Give you a buzz. Never remember. All right, man. I'll get with you. All right. See you next week.
Okay, bro.
All right. Yep. Later.